more than 40 women and children. What's strikingly disturbing about this, similar to that massacre, they say that it began with the military shelling the village as pro-government supporters and loyalists and soldiers moved house to house, street to street, executing women and children at close range.
Ben Bernanke goes to Capitol Hill today to update Congress on the economy. Everyone will be watching for signals the Fed will do more to keep the recovery going. President Obama continues his fundraising trip out west. He's in California for one more fundraiser this morning in Beverly Hills. Then it's on to Las Vegas. This is NBC News Radio. Defense Secretary Leon Panetta is in Afghanistan. NBC's Scott Waltman says he's reviewing the progress of the war and plans for U.S. withdrawal.
Panetta says he wants to get an assessment from the top U.S. commander, Marine General John Allen, and how confident he is in NATO's ability to confront threats from the Taliban. Panetta arrived just a day after three suicide attackers blew themselves up in a marketplace in southern Afghanistan, killing 22 people and wounding at least 50 others. Scott Walterman, NBC News Radio.
The New York City Police Department is being sued over its Muslim surveillance program. It was put into effect after 9/11 and randomly monitors Muslims in the city. Miley Cyrus is getting married. She's 19 and got engaged to 22-year-old Liam Hemsworth. The two met 3 years ago while making the movie The Last Song. And the New Jersey Devils keep their Stanley Cup dreams alive, beating the L.A. Kings last night, taking the series back to New Jersey Saturday night. I'm Lynn Berry, NBC News Radio.
Did you know that a clean engine helps improve fuel economy? Did you know that reduced engine deposits help improve fuel economy? Cleaner intake valves? That helps improve fuel economy, too. That's why all Exxon and Mobil gasoline is specifically formulated to help clean intake valves and vital engine parts. To help your engine run cleaner, smoother, produce less emissions, and get better fuel economy. Learn more at fuelprogress.com. Exxon and Mobil. Gasoline that works smarter for you. Think clean.
Smart companies everywhere are getting dressed at Land's End Business Outfitters. We'll embroider your company logo on everything from polos to outerwear. Our quality will unify your team and make your brand better. Small companies to market leaders like Hampton Hotels and Southwest Airlines are dressing their employees at Land's End Business Outfitters. Now let us show you your good name on our good products. Visit landsend.biz. That's landsend.biz.
Yesterday, LinkedIn was telling everyone with a profile on its site to change your password. You will also want to do that if you have an eHarmony account. This says security experts at the dating website discovered the same kind of scrambled files with passwords seen at LinkedIn. Both LinkedIn and eHarmony are declining to reveal exactly how many accounts are affected, but estimates suggest as many as 8 million. The Fed chief has the opportunity today to help prolong yesterday's massive Wall Street rally or to kill it where it stands. Chairman Ben Bernanke heads to Capitol Hill to testify starting this morning. He'll be talking about the economy before a congressional committee. At the center of questioning is likely to be, what's all the talk about the possibility of more monetary stimulus? That is what helped Wall Street put on its best rally of the year thus far yesterday. Stocks around the world up again today, up 0.5% in Europe, and S&P futures right now are gaining 4 points, NASDAQ futures up 6. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
At Regions, we're building a better banking experience for each small business customer. That means giving you the basics, like checking and savings, as well as offering the right lending options, because we understand how important capital, revenue, and cash flow are to your small business. So if you're ready for a bank that's as committed to growing your business as you are, switch to Regions. Visit Regions.com/yourbusiness today. Regions, it's time to expect more. Regions Bank, member FDIC. All loans subject to credit approval. See individual account disclosures for details.
Smart companies everywhere are getting dressed at Land's End Business Outfitters. We'll embroider your company logo on everything from polos to outerwear. Our quality will unify your team and make your brand better. Small companies to market leaders like Hampton Hotels and Southwest Airlines are dressing their employees at Land's End Business Outfitters. Now let us show you your good name on our good products. Visit landsend.biz. That's landsend.biz.
Hey, everybody. Jay Farner here from Quicken Loans. Right now, Quicken Loans is proud to offer you our exclusive Yorgage, a mortgage that's custom fit for you. It's a fixed-rate home loan that allows you to select a term that works best for your individual needs, anywhere from 8 to 29 years. The rate today on our 8-year fixed Yorgage is an amazing 2.875%, APR 3.5%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN. We'll help you keep more of that hard-earned money in your pocket where it belongs. Maybe that's why, for the second year in a row now, J.D. Power & Associates rank Quicken Loans highest in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination in the nation. It's really this simple. I believe there's never been a more perfect time to refinance or purchase than right now. Again, the rate today on an 8-year fixed mortgage is an amazing 2.875%, APR 3.5%. So give us a call today at 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN, or visit us at quickenloans.com.
For J.D. Power & Associates award information, visit jdpower.com. Other restrictions may apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
As you grab your time card and get ready to punch in, and as you dedicate another day to honoring your contract and your commitment to quality,
maybe it's time to reinforce to your boss and your elected representatives that they owe you for continuing to make their lives easier.
And that it is the work that you do that rewards them for the work that they do.
That it is because of you that progress is made.
That your sacrifices and your willingness to change help them grow.
And now it's time to honor what you have done.
And what you have done cannot be ignored any longer.
You will now raise your voice.
Your voice is now. First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome, everybody. It is Thursday, the 7th day of June 2012. A pleasure to be with you as we work through this week. A lot going on today. Kind of an odd day yesterday. Had lots of technical issues. I personally did in my home office. Was without phone, internet, cable for too many hours to mention. I am mentioning it. But anyway, it was just one of those days. And then, you know, some days you just feel a little snarky. Today's one of them. So I warn you, those of you that I like, things are going to be fine. Those of you that I don't like, not so much. Not so much. Another way of saying, don't piss me off today. I'm just being honest with you. What do we have going on? Mark Brewer, chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party, will give us a little bonus time this week. He held a press conference in Kalamazoo yesterday. We will find out why and get an update from him. Susan Demas from Mears and MLive.com will be with us as well as we talk some politics in her occasional visit with us here at First Shift. Occupy Detroit will give us Shannon McEvely today. We'll talk about mothering justice. Yep. What's that about? Well, stay tuned. You'll find out. Kevin Moore, president of Teamsters Local 299, will also be joining us in studio, and we'll be talking about Wisconsin in the aftermath. We'll be looking forward to November and what all that portends. I love it. I like that word, portend. You just don't hear it a lot. In fact, I'm going to start. I used to do this. I used to have a Word file, and I'll bet you I still have that file in my filing cabinet. I used to have a Word file that I would stuff with words that are underused, and then I would pull them out from time to time, mostly in my writing, and then utilize them. What does that have to do with anything? Absolutely nothing. But welcome to radio. All right, with that said, let's go ahead and get this thing started.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Protect. Two-syllable word, protect. Protect and defend, that, of course, would be the police. The personal protection order. I'll leave that alone for now, but, you know, there's a protect. This idea, you know, what is government for? What are our representatives for, our lawmakers? You know, is it just about police? Is it about teachers? Is it about parents? Protect. Is it about being protected or being the protectee? Do you feel that no matter who you are, you have an obligation to protect? Or do you feel that there's an obligation to protect you? Or does that door swing both ways? God forbid you get caught in the middle, and then what happens? I'm just telling you, the truth is, when we think about protection or being protected, I think we have a certain point of view. That point of view would probably have more to do with where we're personally at in our lives than ever before. We really do need to get a windscreen on this microphone. My P's and my T's are popping and topping. Oh, welcome to Clear Channel Radio. Somebody needs to protect me from myself right now, because I just maybe just made one of those days where I go a little too far. And we're going to find out, aren't we? Between now and 9 a.m. Well, actually, 8:58 if we're going to get technical about it. And actually, it might be 8:58:10. I'm not sure. Anyway, as we meander through this morning's program, just to remind you that to be protected, to be the protectee, to need protection, I guess it's all a very personal thing. You'll decide what it is for you. You'll decide if you want to be the protector or the protectee. Sometimes situations dictate which that is. Absolutely. So just keep in mind that it's all about where you're standing at any given moment. Today's first word is protection. Protected, protectu, protecti, protectile, protectile. Projectile. There we go. We'll do that. Projectile. Good morning, Jeff. Save me from myself this
what
morning.
What the heck is going on this morning?
Jeez.
What did you put in your coffee?
Nothing.
You
got something crazy that's, going that, on? That's the issue. I didn't put anything in. I mean, nothing more than I normally
so
did.
So what time yesterday did the problem start?
Well, I talked to you at about 2 o'clock, right?
So I'm the cause of this.
No,
I see how it
is. I'm just framing it time-wise. So I talked to you about 2 o'clock, and it literally happened when I hung up the phone with you.
All right.
What happened was I went to I got an email, and I clicked on a link in the email that was going to take me to something I wanted to see. And it wasn't connecting, and it wasn't connecting, and it wasn't connecting. And I went, oh, that's weird. And I looked down, and all the lights on my modem weren't working. And so I said, oh, okay. So then I said, none of the lights are working. This is really odd. And the phone usually works. Even if the cable or the internet goes on down, the phone usually works. Well, the phone didn't work. And the cable wasn't working, and that pretty much ended my day, Jeff.
So we got 8 more hours then until this 24-hour of madness ends. Because it's, since that started, it seems like there's just been craziness and chaos going on. Even this morning, everyone around here is going crazy at different stations because we can't use the printers. So
yeah, Jeff goes to print off our audio sheet, and it was literally an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper. It printed literally one half inch by one half inch. The entire document was that big. So go figure. I have no idea what that's about.
Anthony's got the magnifying glass out now so he can read the one sheet.
There you go. That's funny. Had I have known, I could have printed one off at home. But we, of course, we don't know these things, do we? No.
Oh, you could print one off at home? So yours is your printer.
I could still print, yes. That I could do. I just couldn't do much else besides that. Now, I was able to utilize my phone. You had sent me a bunch of links, and I was able to utilize my phone as long as I turned the Wi-Fi off. So from a cellular perspective, I could access the internet and read the stories that you'd sent me and the links that you'd sent me. But at the same time, I like to print a lot of this stuff. I like to, as you know, I post a lot of that stuff to Facebook. I wasn't able to do any of that. And I just got really frustrated. So at one point I just said, F this, I'm walking away. So I, you know, commiserated with Anthony for a few minutes. Vinny and I bonded more than we normally would have. Because we had an opportunity to spend some time together. And then by the time everything came back online, I was at that point in the middle of making dinner. So it extended my evening, which I didn't appreciate either. So, yeah, I was a little bit in a pissy mood last night.
But I will say this. It seems like whenever something like this happens, and now Anthony has folded the sheet into it so that it looks like the one sheet is that size now. I mean, we're folding it very small. Anyway, I just caught that out of the corner of my eye. But I will say when you get frustrated, it tends to lead to an excellent meal being cooked.
I did cook an excellent. Well, you'll have to ask Anthony if it was an excellent meal, but I thought it was.
Oh, no, come on. I was going to say, you were bragging it up. You were feeling pretty good about
salsa.
It.
The salsa was... Anthony, how was the salsa last night?
It was good.
There you go. That's the expert
analysis.
It was
good. Well, thank you, Anthony, for that rousing endorsement of my salsa. It was good.
I love when he's got, because he's got the mic way over there, and he's not, you know, he's working on the board, and he's not going to get the mic.
Yes, thoroughly engaged in the program once more.
Right? Yeah, well, I mean, because he just doesn't use the mic a lot. So when he goes, it's this big production. So he goes and turns the mic on, grabs it, pulls it over, and you're waiting for, like, some great words of wisdom to come out, and he's like, it was good.
It was good.
5 seconds.
It was better than good, and you know it.
I just like my salsa a little more sweet, I guess. I don't know.
Sweet?
Yeah, the mango salsas.
Oh, my God. All right, well, you know, I'm sorry I disappointed you. From now on, you can cook your own freaking meals, dude. All right, glad we worked that out. Anthony won't be having ribs tonight, so that worked out real well. Wow. See, Jeff, you just can't make this family happy.
Ribs sounds awesome right now.
I'm actually making ribs for dinner tonight. Baby back ribs. But that's that. Anyway, we could mention the Tigers, but why? They lost. So we've mentioned them. They lost.
They continue to lose.
Yes, they do.
And you know, before these two games, they were actually 23-3 in their last 26 games at home versus Cleveland. So I kind of looked forward to this series.
Yeah, well, so much for that.
Yeah, not so much anymore. And then tonight, it's like, they don't sweep the Tigers. I don't know. Casey Crosby's his second major league start. Not that I don't like Casey Crosby, but if they can beat Scherzer and they can beat Smiley, I'm not feeling too healthy as far as Crosby's start goes.
Yeah, I'm just, again, you and I talked before the show, and, you know, just not feeling it. Not feeling any Tiger love right now for fundamentally good reasons. There's nothing to love. Just nothing to love. It is what it is. So we'll let it go. All right. So anyway, we've gone through what we're going to do today. We've got some audio that we're going to get to in a little while. We do want to open it up to you, the listener, if you care to join us, 888-552-3595. That's 888-552-3595. The email address, tony@thetonyshow.org. tony@thetonyshow.org. On Twitter, @TonyTrupiano. So that's how you connect with us. We got that out of the way. We'll come back. I've got some stories that I need to get to. It's Thursday. It's Thursday already. Sweet God, where does the time go? We got some stories we're going to get to. And then, of course, if you'd like to join us, we'll do that. And we just got a lot of stuff that we're going to work through. I think today might be a good day to, it's kind of like cleaning out the refrigerator to make this great meal. Well, today we're going to clean out our files and put together a really great show. So let's take the break and we'll get going right after this.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
You know why I knew this rescue would succeed? It was because I believed in you. I placed my bet on the American worker. And I'll make that bet any day of the week.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
No problems to report, but we do have construction on 94 eastbound between Lapeer Road and Water Street. Has your left lane closed until 10 a.m. Don't forget about Finco east of Livernois. That's closed for water main repair work. And also, you got a planned power outage on 7 Mile between Livernois and Woodward. That starts at 7 a.m. and lasts until noon. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 80 degrees. Tonight, it's going to drop down to a low of 58. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and 84, and it's currently 58 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring, drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020. Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671. First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Joining us now is Susan Demish.
I don't have an issue with people switching parties. You know, it's just a decision of conscience. People's thinking of all. I get that. But it's really hard to argue that this is a deep-seated, philosophical, wrenching decision that the representative made when he switched parties 10 minutes before the filing deadline on Tuesday. And he never said boo about his unhappiness to any of his Democratic colleagues, to his staff who are now out of the job, or to the leadership. I mean, this was a very brave and political move.
On 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter. First word.
First thoughts. First with the news and newsmakers that matter to you. First Shift on 1310 WDTW. With Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after 6 o'clock. Want to thank everybody for being with us this morning. I just realized as I was coming on air, let me go there first. Our poll question today has to do with casinos, more casinos. As you know, that there's a group that's looking to put together, or has put together, a coalition of private business that would like us to expand by 8 the number of casinos in the state of Michigan. 4 of them would be in Metro Detroit. I don't want to say Detroit because it wouldn't be specifically in Detroit. Metro Detroit, including, I believe, Port Huron. Anyway, the point is there's a group that would like to do that. In order to do that, though, we have to change the Michigan Constitution, which does legally limit the amount, the number of casinos in the state. All right, fair enough. Well, there's a group, of course, spearheaded by both the Indian tribes, which have a vested interest in the casino world, and those that currently own casinos, most directly those, of course, that are within the city of Detroit limits. And the reality is they aren't happy with this idea. Now, there's a group, and we had that group on. I believe it's called the Michigan Committee to Create More Jobs or something along those lines. Bottom line is, do you or do you not support the expansion of casino gaming here in the state of Michigan? I am a little bit surprised. Actually, no, I'm not a little bit surprised. I'm stunned. That, although, I mean, we're not talking about hundreds of people voting, but early on, it's only 22 minutes after the hour, early on in the polling, the vast majority of people are saying enough casinos in Detroit, period.
Why are you shocked by that?
I would think that either people wouldn't have an opinion, wouldn't care, I shouldn't say wouldn't have an opinion, wouldn't care how many casinos there are, or would be all for expanding casinos because it generally means, of course, more jobs and, you know, more construction jobs, more permanent jobs, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm a little surprised that, you know, by a 5-to-1 margin, literally a 5-to-1 margin, people are saying, no, enough's enough. We've got enough casinos. Just find it interesting. And the one person that said, oh, no, more casinos is fine, just don't put them in Detroit, that was surprising to me. I don't know. I'm just a little surprised by it.
That's I don't know. I'm kind of conflicted. I don't know that you need more. I mean, you got enough places to lose your money now as it is. So And then that's the, I think that's the mindset that people have that is anti-casino. Not so much anti-casino, because it's not like I'm anti...
Anti-gambling, maybe?
It's not even that. I'm pro... I like it in, you know, if you can do it in moderation. I feel bad for people who get way too addicted, and the next thing you know, it's like, no, I got to get that $80 back. No, I got to get that $400 back. No, I got to get that.
But that's true for everybody, right? I mean, you know, it's personal choice, Jeff. Going to the casino is a personal. I love to gamble. I love to go to Vegas. You know, and when
drinking is a personal choice. It doesn't mean you can't do it in moderation.
I think the vast majority of people do it in moderation. Not that I haven't been to the casino and seen people take their paycheck and blow it on a Friday night. I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen more than I'm comfortable admitting. So yes, it does happen, Bud. I agree with you there.
Right, and if everyone could do it. If everyone could do gambling and drinking in moderation, then neither one of those would have that much of a negative connotation, right?
Absolutely.
So that's one thing. That's a negative, I guess, that casinos have. And I don't know if this is true or if it's just one of those things that people believe without actually knowing the facts. I tend to think I've read it somewhere along the lines that casinos in an area do more harm than help. I don't know if that's
true. In what regard, though?
Like crime is higher around that area. So things that you wouldn't necessarily make a direct connection with casinos affect that area. So you think, oh yeah, you're gonna have more jobs and it's gonna be great and everything, but then attitudes and thoughts of the people around that area are different. You know what I'm saying? Like okay, now it's like, yeah, I've got to or. I'm trying to think of the article. I'll see if I can find the article that talked about the negative effects of a casino in your area, and then having a few of them, and being like, okay, good, we're good with this. Like so far, I think they've been a pretty positive thing for Detroit. But adding more, I don't know if I'm down with that. And I actually kind of agree with the guy who said that they're fine. Put them in other places because Firekeepers is what down 94 Battle Creek or something,
right?
And they're doing very well, but that's in that area. And then you got the one in Mount Pleasant, and they've done their, you know, like one in a spread out area so that everyone has access to, but not necessarily like one every street corner.
Well, and they're not saying one on every street corner. You know, they recently opened the one in Toledo, which is less than an hour. About an hour from where we're sitting right now. They're opening, if they haven't already opened one in, I believe, Columbus, but it could be Cleveland, so I want to be careful there. I'm not sure which one it is, which is not that far either. So that's within, it's a similar drive to Mount Pleasant from here to Cleveland, right? Yeah, so it's a similar drive. It might be a little bit longer. So if you want options, those are options, of course. One of the concerns about, and we saw the article in the papers a couple weeks ago, one of the concerns about the Ohio casinos is that it may cost the state up to $30 million in revenue because of people in the state of Michigan going to Ohio to gamble. So it then begs the question, well, if we were to put more of them, if there's that much interest, and I'll finish this thought in its entirety in a minute, if there's that much interest, then that certainly supports expanding the amount of casinos we have in the Metro Detroit area. But the point that was, I think they were making in that article, very clearly making in that article, is it's not that there's more interest in more casinos in this area. I think that the people like having options. And so if the option's Toledo, they go to Toledo. If the option is Mount Clemens, they may go to Mount Clemens. Or they may go to Toledo. A lot of it will just depend on where you live, right? It's about convenience. At the end of the day, it's about, you know, convenient. I've yet, and, you know, we're, of course, not even mentioning the Windsor casinos, which obviously take a certain amount of people away from the Detroit landscape as well and place them on the Canadian side of the river.
Speaking of which, I got something after the break for you because I just got something in the mail, and I want your opinion on what I should do about it.
All right. So here I am. I am a pro casino guy. I have a tendency to go to Las Vegas a couple times a year. I hadn't in the last 5 years, but I Ann and I did go last fall, and we do plan to take a trip. If not this summer, we will go early in the fall. But see, to me, it's Las Vegas isn't just about gambling. There's an entire experience there, and we were there last fall, we took in a show. We went to the Beatles show that was at Planet Hollywood, which was excellent. Very intimate theater. Really enjoyed that. I also enjoy the pool side. And I mean, there's lots to Las Vegas. There's a lot more to Las Vegas than just gambling. Of course, I do enjoy my fair share of gambling as well. But I don't go specifically just to gamble. And so I enjoy gambling. I don't really spend a lot of time in the Michigan casinos, to be honest with you. And it's really more just because of my lack of availability. I take my job very seriously, so that's my priority. Yes, I am a workaholic. My name is Tony, and I am a workaholic. All right, we'll come back. Feel free to join us, 888-552-3595. We'll find out what Jeff got in the mail, and we'll all help him make a decision. Let's take the break, and First Shift continues on 1310 WDTW right after this.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
And checking your roadways, we got a disabled vehicle that has your left shoulder blocked on 696 westbound near DeQuinder. Also, we got road construction on 75 southbound between Dix and Northline Road that has your right lane closed until 6 p.m. Friday. And also, we got some planned power outages that start at 7 a.m. and last until noon on 7 Mile between Livernois and Woodward and 8 Mile between Livernois and Woodward. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Sweeten up your day with a McDonald's frozen strawberry lemonade. Sweet strawberries and tangy lemons mixed together for a unique drink every time. Starting at just $1.69. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 80 degrees. Tonight, it's going to drop down to a low 58. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and 84, and it's currently 58 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
First Shift with Tony Trubiano.
Jim Peterson. You just retired, so why would you want to step up into this role of candidate and ultimately, of course, with the goal of being elected to the state house?
Well, Tony, after watching this train wreck of a legislature and governors stumble from one anti-union thing, anti-worker thing, anti-retiree thing to the next, I couldn't not do it.
On 1310 WDTW.
In April, Jamie Dimon, the swaggering chief of J.P. Morgan Chase, scoffed at critics who warned that his bank's high-flying investment division was dangerously overextended and risking collapse. A complete tempest in a teapot, scoffed Dimon. A month later, however, Jamie's teapot exploded, blowing a $3 billion hole in the nation's largest bank and in Dimon's reputation. Poor Jamie. Why didn't someone tell him? They tried. As early as 2009, J.P. Morgan's own internal risk managers raised concerns that this out-of-control division was pouring billions of dollars into speculative trades that were too large and too complex even to understand, much less manage. But their caution was dismissed, and Dimon himself pushed for more of these wondrous schemes. Okay, but where were the federal regulators who are supposed to dog banker excess, shoved aside by Dimon? While more than 100 government inspectors were embedded in J.P. Morgan, none were in the reckless investment division. The bank's big-shot boss, who's tightly wired to the top leaders of both political parties, had aggressively pushed against having regulators hovering around his hot investment profit center, assuring the overseers that nothing was happening in there worth watching. Dimon had extra clout, for not only is he a Wall Street star, but, get this, he also has a seat on the board of the New York branch of the Federal Reserve, which has regulatory authority over Wall Street. Indeed, the New York Fed will now conduct the inquiry into J.P. Morgan's disastrous risk-taking. Yes, Jamie the Fed official will investigate Jamie the banker. This is Jim Hightower saying, these banks are simply too big. Too big for managers, regulators, and the public interest. We don't need another regulatory band-aid. We need Teddy Roosevelt to bust them up.
Hightower's commentary is brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown. From Wall Street to Washington, this monthly newsletter reveals who's doing what to whom and why. Check it out, HightowerLowdown.org.
You're listening to Michigan's only live and local progressive talk radio show.
Give us a call.
1-888-552-3595.
Welcome back to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
All righty, we are back. You got the number? We just gave it out there. So tell me, Jeffrey, what did you get in the mail and what can we help you decide?
All right, so casinos, especially going over to Canada, and we were talking about that. Especially when I was 19, that was the thing to do, obviously, because you could drive over to Canada and drink legally.
Right.
And I really, you know, we started going to the casinos more and drinking less, and I really enjoyed going to Windsor. It was just fun. I think Canada is a cool place. It's a different, unique experience than being in America. I mean, like, you're in a completely different country, and the side conversations people have are mostly
Anthony's
about...
Anthony's a big fan.
Yeah, they're mostly about, like, minor league hockey, and I've never... It was just so odd for me to hear, like, you know, two little old ladies talking about minor league hockey, because they just... That's how much they love it over there.
Very
so.
Quickly, do you find it amazing? All you really do is cross a bridge, yet it is an entirely different atmosphere.
Yeah, I think it's amazing just going two hours west. Like, West Michigan is completely different than East Michigan.
Yeah, no question.
Yeah, you don't have to travel that far to find people that are just so different. But so anyway, in the mail this morning, I have a license renewal form. And there's an option there, and I think if I understand this correctly, it's called a recreational passport option.
Actually, bring Anthony in because he knows about this. If he's, you know, willing to talk to us, that is.
Right.
You know, unless he's making sweet salsa somewhere that I'm not aware of.
So I think it's like a $10 option. And then if I understand this correctly, I can go more freely across the border.
Anthony?
Yeah.
You know about this, I don't.
Was it Mexico, Canada, and the Caribbean or something like that?
All with my Michigan driver's license? That's outstanding. Because I was thinking, I was thinking about looking into a passport anyway. I don't know how often I would go to Mexico, but Canada. I mean, for $10 more, why not, right? And I can go back to going to Windsor more often. I'm scared of crossing the border because they have all the new restrictions and everything.
Well, there's your answer. I knew that Anthony has that special passport/license that gets you to Canada. And the whole point of them putting that together was to make it easier for the border crossing. A little bit easier anyway. And that way you don't have to get necessarily a passport. Now, it's not a passport, as you know, but it certainly, for your purposes, for $10, it'd be well worth it.
It isn't, you're right, it's not a passport, but it's kind of like, you know, the U.S. and Canada and Mexico all shaking hands and being like, good enough?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, I think it's all, I'm down with it then.
Yeah, Matt, no, it makes a lot of sense. A lot of people, especially younger people, decided to do that because they do like to go over to Windsor. The exchange rate isn't what it once was, so that's not the motivation to go anymore. I find it, and I haven't been to Canada, I haven't been to Windsor or Sarnia in quite some time, but you're literally 10 minutes, not even 10 minutes from the U.S. border, and it's an entirely different atmosphere. I don't even know how to describe it except that it is an entirely different atmosphere. By the way, my buddy Patrick asked me if the casinos in Ohio were smoking. They are smoke-free. The new casinos in Ohio are smoke-free, Patrick, so that's not a motivation for people to go, for those that were thinking. And, of course, you can smoke in the casinos here in Michigan. You cannot smoke in the casinos in Windsor. But you can smoke in the casinos here in Detroit.
Wait, you can't in Windsor?
Nope.
Oh, that's weird, because I know we used to, it makes me sound so stupid. We used to go and get Cuban cigars because you can't get Cuban cigars here.
Correct.
And you have to smoke them there because you can't bring them across the border.
Yeah, God forbid, because nobody ever does something like that.
No, that's illegal.
Right. So, yeah, no, there's no smoking, at the Windsor. In fact, there's no smoking in the restaurants there, casinos, any public place. They banned smoking some time ago. I don't remember when, but it was a while ago. I mean, it's been quite a few years. So, yeah, and you obviously haven't been to Windsor in a while.
No, once I turned 21, it was kind of pointless anymore. Because that's where we would go to do stuff legally.
Legally. Well, so then you had to stay there and sober up, of course. You had to spend the night. You wouldn't dare come back and drink and drive, would you, Jeff?
Not me.
I didn't think so.
We didn't stay there either, though. We had some poor schlub got named DD that night.
Okay.
And I took my turn. I did do DD duties once in a while.
I thought, you know what, the certainly designated drivers are, at one time it might have been something that was laughed at. No longer is. People do take that, as they should take that very seriously. I will be 100% honest with you, because there isn't anybody that, if they're being honest, most people, the vast majority of people would say that they have at some point in their life gotten behind the wheel when they shouldn't have. Okay? Most people will admit to that. And it's been a long time since I had more than one, maybe two drinks an entire evening and got behind the wheel and drove. But if I really felt like I was on the bubble, I would have no qualms about either calling somebody or getting a cab. I have no qualms about that at all. I do not want a DUI.
Which is a much different thought than some rich people. Especially in the sports world,
I can't
understand. They can definitely afford to call somebody or pay for a service and yet still want to drive.
Yeah, and these services are pretty prevalent now, Jeff. I mean, it's not that hard to. I don't remember. There's one that's called the designate, right? There's an organization called the designate.
The New York Jets actually have bought this service, and it's free to their players. All they have to do is use it. All they have to do is make the call or let them know ahead of time, I'm going to be here and I'm going to be drinking.
I wonder how many people don't utilize that service. What a shame that is. I mean, talk about stupidity.
And speaking of odd scenarios, so we're both very against drinking and driving and obviously the dangers of that, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Did you hear about what's going on in Massachusetts?
I have not.
A kid, I think he's 18 years old, was texting and driving and killed somebody because he was not paying attention to what's going on the road. And now, I think he's been sentenced. I'm going to have to look up the details. Sentenced to 2.5 years in jail and then 15 years without a license when he gets out.
Good. Good.
I think it's harsher than drinking and driving penalties.
It is. That would be. I just happened to catch during one of the breaks here that Secretary of Transportation Roy LaHood has been in Detroit. They're going to make an announcement today that they're going to be cracking down on the law in the state of Michigan that says that you are banned from texting and driving. Now, I will be the first to tell you that I don't text and drive. Don't do it, Jeff. Don't do it. And it infuriates me when people do, and I'm going to tell you why. Because they're not freaking paying attention to what they're doing. And and you've experienced it. I've experienced it. Everybody that listens to the show has been in that situation where somebody is texting. They're sitting at a red light. They're texting. The light turns green. You've got to honk your horn because they're paying attention to their freaking phone and not to the road. I hate that. Hate it.
There is. I think people are right now bored driving that it's not just texting. I've seen people reading. I've seen people on a laptop.
Distracted driving is what they now call it.
Right. It is crazy.
Well, in Troy, I think you're aware of this. In Troy, you're not allowed to eat fast food and drive. Are you aware of that?
No.
There's an ordinance in Troy that says you cannot eat in your vehicle while driving. Period.
Because I don't know, has ever...
Distracted driving. It's just distracted driving. I mean, obviously, you're not allowed to read. You're not allowed to text. You're not allowed to distracted drive. But part of that, Jeff, is you're not allowed to go to a fast food restaurant and pull out and grab your burger and start feeding your face while driving down Big Beaver. Can't do it. Just can't do it.
Well, what do you think about that?
I think that's a bit extreme. I do think that's a bit extreme, but where do you draw the line? Where do you draw the line? And I mean, a good friend of mine got pulled over. Now, they didn't get ticketed, but they did get pulled over. They stopped at a Taco Bell, and they got food, and they pulled out, and sure enough, there was a cop right behind him, and he went to grab his burrito and stuff it in his mouth, and woo, woo, lights go off. He pulls over. He says, do you know why I pulled you over? No, I was going 27. I just pulled out of the freaking driveway. Yeah, we have this ordinance here in Troy that says you can't eat and drive at the same time. The guy was astounded. I said, you're joking. This is ridiculous. And he says, you know what? You're about to cross. He told him, you're about to cross the line. I'm not joking. It's not ridiculous. So just be careful. I understand you're not aware of it. I'm not going to ticket you, but I'm giving you a serious warning. Don't eat and drive in this city. Got it? So he chilled. He mellowed out. I mean, the cop didn't have to let him go, but he did.
Yeah, I wonder sometimes where laws like that get put in place where you're just like, all right, we're the only city around. Obviously, for a while, we're going to have to like basically tell people, look, I'm pulling you over, but you get this warning.
Well, we're gonna see an announcement later on today about really cracking down on distracted driving, and it's something that needs to happen. Not that long ago, in fact, I was coming back from the Michigan Summit, and there was some major road construction. And the woman in front of me was texting while sitting in this traffic jam. Now, Jeff, I get it was a traffic jam. The problem was she was so into her texting that when the cars in front of her would finally get a chance to go, she wouldn't, and there would be 40 car lengths in front of her while I'm sitting there waiting for her to move. So I would honk my horn, and she would look up and go, oh, okay, and then she would catch up, and then she'd start texting again. So at one point, I actually pulled over to her side, which I barely could do. I rolled my window down, and I said, I'm going to call the police if you don't put that phone away. I'm going to give them your license plate number for texting while driving. And, of course, she told me to do things that I can't say on the radio. She did. 888-552-3595. Let's throw it out there, folks. Is it time to crack down on distracted driving? My answer to that is absolutely. Absolutely need to stop it. That's a
Eiffel on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet.
Got a question or comment? Call now.
888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310.
WDTW.
And we move on 10 minutes before the top of the hour. Tony Trupiano with you, and a pleasure, as always, to be here. K2, Spice, JMH, as we were told yesterday. All one and the same. There's no question that's true. Fox 2 aired a report yesterday on a bust in Roseville, and just happy this is happening. Let's listen.
I talked to some young people who've smoked K2, even a man who used to sell it. All of them say K2 needs to be out of their community, and they believe police are doing the right thing. Do you know any people who use K2?
Yeah. A lot of our friends do.
These 18-year-olds won't show their faces, but they'll admit they've tried K2.
You can feel that it's not helping your body.
You just feel that you are paranoid or, like, crazy.
And thanks to a string of bizarre and violent crimes, authorities are taking notice and banning K2 and making moves to get this junk off store shelves.
Our officers went out and canvassed several businesses that we have known to sell this product in the past.
Roseville Police Chief James Berlin says most of the gas stations and stores had taken it off their shelves, but this one was a bit of an exception.
The store was filled with K2 spice. And our officers felt that the individual was still, in fact, selling the product to anyone who came into the store.
Police even found bath salts for sale, the substance that may have fueled recent cannibal attacks.
I don't know how many stories have to be out there, how dangerous this is, and what's happened, young people smoking it, and some of the activities that are taking place when they're under its effects.
I'm happy that they took it out, honestly, and it's about time.
But that wasn't all they took.
Well, in the course of seizing the K2, a quantity of marijuana and a firearm was also discovered.
What about the marijuana they found and the gun?
There's no comment to that.
The store's owner and his brother are expected to face criminal charges for the marijuana and the weapon. The K2, not so sure.
We're still needing clarification how to proceed forward from the prosecutor's office and what prosecution will take place and how it will take place.
But one thing is clear. Substances like K2, spice, and bath salts are becoming public enemy number one. Just ask this guy.
It's not worth it to get in trouble for it.
Get it off the shelves. Get rid of it. You know, find another way to make money.
Completely stop making it.
Seriously.
Like, don't make any more. Don't sell it to people. Just get rid of it.
Now, K2 and similar substances have been banned throughout Southeast Michigan. So if you see a store selling it, make sure you contact police. In Roseville, I'm Alexis Wiley, Fox 2 News.
And do that. If you do see somebody selling it, even if you're not sure it's the right or the wrong substance, it's not going to hurt anything to call the police. Let them go investigate. If it's okay and legal, then they'll leave it alone. I'm serious. Let's not forget this. All right. The FBI is investigating a school. The FBI investigating a school. Let's listen.
FBI agents executing a search warrant late this evening at the River Rouge School Board offices. The icing on what has been 6 months worth of drama for the district. Former superintendent Dr. Carlos Lopez is suing the school board for breach of contract and citing whistleblower protections after the school board fired him earlier this year. He was let go after he asked the state to investigate how River Rouge was spending its Title I monies. That's cash meant for low-income children. And the state audit that came back showed the district violated numerous rules when it comes to spending those Title I monies. Now the FBI's unit concentrating on government corruption is paying the district a visit. School board president Valvita Reese didn't feel like talking about the situation tonight. She wouldn't come out and speak with us. And this man at her home told me I better not, and I quote, walk up on his property, and then proceeded to complain about how we weren't doing a story on River Rouge baseball, but the FBI investigation into the district.
Well, legitimate. There's no question, in my opinion, that's legitimate. When we think about corruption, we think about, and really it doesn't matter where the corruption happens, at the county level, at the state level, at the federal level, at the local level, whether it's the school board or whatever it is. And we have the recent case of Robert Davis, which is now in the courts. Wherever there's money, and it goes back to my follow the money routine, and wherever there's money involved, significant amounts of money, there's going to be the temptation to steal that money. It's just true. I'd like to think that we live in an altruistic society where people go, no, that money specifically designated for that, and, you know, God forbid that we would use it for something else, because we know that's not true. Look at what's happened in Wayne County, in the city of Detroit, where they didn't end up using monies, or they used them in the wrong way to buy office furniture, or at the county level to pay salaries instead of providing mental health to those that need mental health services. Follow the money. Sadly, there's just some reality to this idea that if there's money, there is going to be somebody that wants it. Right? I mean, it just, and sadly, it just makes sense. I say sadly because it is sad. Title I money. River Rouge School District, for those of you that are not aware, is in one of the poorer areas of southeast Michigan. There aren't a lot of one percenters living in the River Rouge School District. In fact, I think I can safely say there isn't a person that's in the 1% that's living in the River Rouge School District. And so, yes, when we talk about Title I funds that are designated for lower income families, chances are that 90%+ of the families in that district qualify for those funds, and you're probably talking about a significant amount of dollars being funneled into the River Rouge School District that isn't necessarily ending up where it needs to go. Now, with regard to that report that we played where the gentleman said you're not allowed on my property, listen, private property is private property. So I'll respect his right to protect his own property. Absolutely. At the same time, folks, let's put this in perspective. This wasn't about a reporter encroaching on somebody's private property. It was about them trying to tell a story that sadly needs to be told, and then it will get told whether it's through the legal system or not. It is a story that needs to be told for a variety of what I consider to be obvious reasons. When we look at our school districts and the way they are stressed these days, especially financially, when you look at what the state legislature has done to school districts, and don't be fooled by this notion that they've provided $120 per pupil in the next year's budget, because nearly, if not more than half of the school districts in the state of Michigan will receive no increase at all. Some of them will only receive literally a dollar increase per pupil, some of them $8 per pupil. So don't believe that what the Republicans are going to tell you about students getting an extra $120 a year. That is just not true. On the aggregate, it is just not true. I don't know why. I don't know why. There's just a legal way to steal. I don't know that there's a big difference between what happened in that school district in River Rouge that the FBI is investigating and what this legislature did to the students throughout the state of Michigan. One way or another, it's stealing. We'll take a break for the top of the hour. Mark Brewer, chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party, catching us up on the Roy Schmidt case. When we continue here on First Shift, Susan Demas and Occupy Detroit as well in the next hour. Let's all go fill up our coffee. We'll come back on what is a gorgeous June morning, weather-wise anyway, and continue with First Shift. Stay with us.
WDTW continuous traffic watch.
And checking your roadways, we got a disabled vehicle that has your left shoulder blocked on 696 westbound near DeQuinder. Also, we got road construction on 75 southbound between Dix and Northline Road that has your right lane closed until 6 p.m. Friday. And also, we got some planned power outages that start at 7 a.m. and last until noon on 7 mile between Livernois and Woodward and 8 mile between Livernois and Woodward. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 80 degrees. Tonight, it's going to drop down to a low of 58. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and 84, and it's currently 58 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet. Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays 6 to 9 right here on 1310 WDTW. Dearborn, Detroit. NBC News is next.
NBC News Radio, I'm Chris Jansen. Gruesome attacks in Syria. According to opposition groups who claim government troops have staged another massacre in central Syria. NBC's Ayman Mohideen.
They say that it began with the military shelling the village as pro-government supporters and loyalists and soldiers moved house to house, street to street, executing women and children.
The Syrian government says the claims are baseless. Another blow to online security. The accounts of some users of LinkedIn and the dating site eHarmony have been compromised after users' encrypted passwords were posted on the Internet. Boy Scouts of America says it has no plans to ease its ban on gay leaders and scouts after receiving an online petition urging a reversal of the policy. And a giant of science fiction and fantasy has died, Ray Bradbury, prophet of the high-tech book-burning future of Fahrenheit 451. His 1950s breakthrough, The Martian Chronicles, became a futuristic classic. Ray Bradbury was 91. This is NBC News Radio. Defense Secretary Leon Panetta is in Afghanistan, taking stock of progress in the war and talking with U.S. commanders and Afghan leaders. Panetta acknowledging the increased violence in southern Afghanistan, but says the overall level of violence is down. The jury has been selected in the trial of Jerry Sandusky, the former Penn State assistant coach, who's facing more than 50 counts of child sexual abuse. NBC's Brian Moore.
NBC News has learned the prosecution intends to kick off its case with a bizarre letter written to one of the alleged victims, a document that literally spells out an inappropriate relationship with the former coach.
And there's a spaceship on that flight deck. Visitors to New York's Intrepid Sea, Air, and Space Museum not only get a glimpse of the historic World War II aircraft carrier, the star attraction, Space Shuttle Enterprise, has arrived. It got there the old-tech way, hoisted from a barge in the Hudson River. More news at MSNBC.com. I'm Chris Jansing, NBC News Radio.
Coffee and a bagel, $8. Movie tickets, $30. Tank of gas, $80. I can't control how much I pay for a lot of things, but when it comes to entertainment, Dish gives me all the channels I love at the right price. I call that cost control. With promotional prices starting at just $19.99 a month for 12 months, it's the best deal in entertainment. Call 1-888-770-DISH. That's 1-888-770-3474. Limited time offers subject to change without notice. 24-month agreement required. Cancellation fee and other restrictions apply. Call for details.
At Advance Auto Parts, we don't do anything just part way. We go full throttle. We don't just sell you some oil. Oh, no. Now, you can get a Castrol GTX conventional oil change special for just $20.99. Plus, enter to win the $15,000 Castrol Ultimate Garage Sweepstakes. Thought your garage was pretty sweet? Well, wait until you see it totally pimped out. Service is our best part.
Advance Auto Parts.
See store for details. No purchase necessary for sweepstakes. Visit CastrolUltimateGarage.com for program rules and to enter.
It is no longer just LinkedIn. eHarmony confirms it also has been hit by a hacking and that between the two sites, millions of user passwords have been leaked onto the Internet. eHarmony has 20 million users, and it says a small fraction of passwords have been compromised. Earlier, LinkedIn, which has 160 million users, declined to say exactly how many accounts have been hacked. One site estimates maybe 8 million. Access to passwords from those two sites can give hackers complete glimpses into people's professional and personal lives. The Fed chief has the opportunity today to shed light on speculation of new monetary stimulus. Chairman Ben Bernanke heads to Capitol Hill this morning to testify on the economy before a congressional committee. At the center of questioning may be, what's with all this recent talk of stimulus? That is what helped Wall Street put on its best rally of the year thus far yesterday. Right now, S&P futures are up a point. Dow futures, though, now losing 8 points. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
At Regions, we're building a better banking experience for each small business customer. That means giving you the basics, like checking and savings, as well as offering the right lending options. Because we understand how important capital, revenue, and cash flow are to your small business. So if you're ready for a bank that's as committed to growing your business as you are, switch to Regions. Visit Regions.com/yourbusiness today. Regions, it's time to expect more. Regions Bank, member FDIC. All loans subject to credit approval. See individual account disclosures for details.
Smart companies everywhere are getting dressed at Land's End Business Outfitters. We'll embroider your company logo on everything from polos to outerwear. Our quality will unify your team and make your brand better. Small companies to market leaders like Hampton Hotels and Southwest Airlines are dressing their employees at Land's End Business Outfitters. Now let us show you your good name on our good products. Visit landsend.biz. That's landsend.biz.
Did you know that a clean engine helps improve fuel economy? Did you know that reduced engine deposits help improve fuel economy? Cleaner intake valves? That helps improve fuel economy too. That's why all Exxon and Mobil gasoline is specifically formulated to help clean intake valves and vital engine parts. To help your engine run cleaner, smoother, produce less emissions, and get better fuel economy. Learn more at fuelprogress.com. Exxon and Mobil. Gasoline that works smarter for you. Think clean.
Smart companies everywhere are getting dressed at Land's End Business Outfitters. We'll embroider your company logo on everything from polos to outerwear. Our quality will unify your team and make your brand better. Small companies to market leaders like Hampton Hotels and Southwest Airlines are dressing their employees at Land's End Business Outfitters. Now let us show you your good name on our good products. Visit landsend.biz. That's Land's.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
They call us a mob.
To try to divide us.
They tell us prosperity should start at the top and to wait for it to trickle down.
More like piddle down.
They refuse to compromise for the good of the country.
When you're right, you don't have to compromise. Compromise is for people that are wrong.
Instead, caring more about the politics of politics.
I don't know why he believes that it's going to be any easier for Republicans than Democrats to make these tough decisions.
They think we have no choice but to sit back and take it.
Think again.
No more. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Good morning. Just 6 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Thursday, the 7th day of June 2012. Pleasure to be with you. As we promised a couple weeks back, if there was information that you needed with regard to the traitor Roy Schmidt, now a declared Republican, we would bring that to you. Well, yesterday, Chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party, Mark Brewer, hand-delivered a letter to Speaker Jace Bulger demanding answers in House District 76 and the election fraud case. So we get a little bonus, Mark Brewer, this week. He joins us this morning to talk to us about what happened in Kalamazoo yesterday. Although we couldn't be there, Mr. Chairman, I thought that we'd spend a few minutes with you this morning, so thanks for making some time for us.
Good to be with you again, Tony.
Well, let's get an update, because I've got to tell you, when I read Ari Adler's response to you showing up yesterday, I get a little bit angry.
Well, you know, we're into the third week of the Stonewall by the Speaker, who refuses to tell not only his constituents but the voters of the state of Michigan what his role was in all of this. And the longer this drags out, Tony, the more you've got to assume that there's some guilt there. I mean, if he had no role in this fake Democrat filing, why not just come out and say that? Come out and flatly deny it, rather than trot out your spokesman to make whatever snarky remarks he wants to make.
Well, let me read the snarky remark, because this is what, as a voter, Mark, not as a Democrat, as a voter, this bothers me. It says, the public deserves, let me get it right here. Yeah. Oh, sorry, wrong piece of paper. Here we go. It says, the story about Rep. Roy Schmidt being driven away from the Michigan Democratic Party has been covered from one end to the other by the news media. The speaker has nothing further to say regarding Mark Brewer's ridiculous and desperate antics to take the spotlight off his own failed leadership. We're busy actually making a difference for Michigan. Now, Mark, with all due respect, I don't think this is a stunt, and we are owed some answers. And if there's nothing illegal that's been done, don't you think the speaker should be saying, I want to fully cooperate with the Secretary of State, the Attorney General, and the Michigan State Police, and I want to make sure that everybody in the state of Michigan knows that what happened with Representative Schmidt was something that should have happened, because it was done in the best and legal and most possible path that we could have done with all clarity that we could summon. But he's not doing that.
That's absolutely right, Tony. I mean, again, you know, this is the non-denial denial that you always get in these circumstances with the speaker and his spokesperson trying to change the topic. This is no longer about Roy Schmidt changing parties. This is about possible criminal conduct. I mean, there was a state police investigation, and we have filed a complaint about the possible illegal use of state resources as part of this scheme of the party switch and the fake Democrat. And again, when we get denials like this, non-denial denials like this, it just encourages us, frankly, to keep pressing, because obviously they're trying to hide something here.
Well, so let me ask you if there has been any action with regard more specifically to the state police who are investigating this that did announce they were forming an investigation. Have they come out and said anything at all publicly, Mark?
No, there's nothing on that front yet, nor is there any response to my complaint with the Secretary of State last week. But regardless of what happens with those two investigations, Tony, the Speaker is a public official. He not only represents his constituents, but he also holds a statewide office. And he owes the people of his state an explanation. Either come out and say publicly, I had nothing to do with this, and as you indicate, Tony, I'm going to fully cooperate, or tell us exactly what role you played. It reminds you of the old adage that came out of Watergate, Tony, right? It's not the crime, it's the cover-up.
Right.
We now appear to be in the cover-up phase of the crime.
Well, you know, and Mark, as embarrassing, and I think that we can make a correlation, as embarrassing as Thaddeus McCotter's situation is, he at least was responsible enough to say, I'm going to cooperate. I want an investigation. I invite an investigation. Let's get this out in the open and let's figure out what happened. That's not what's happening here.
No, not at all. I mean, McCotter did that for other reasons, of course, to throw others under the bus. But you're right, Tony. At least he did man up and say, yes, these petitions are fraudulent. There's a legal problem here. Let's have an investigation. Where, on the other hand, the speaker continues to completely stonewall his role in this whole mess.
Well, we're going to continue to keep an eye on this. Mark, I want to share with you, the Blogging for Michigan just reported that the Michigan Rising, the group that was formed to recall Governor Snyder, has announced this morning that they are abandoning their efforts. I'd like your I don't know that you knew that before now, and I'm just finding out now, so I wanted to get your reaction to that.
Well, it's not a complete surprise, you know, given what happened in Wisconsin. They publicly said yesterday that they were going to reevaluate their efforts in light of what happened in Wisconsin a couple of days ago. I mean, to be candid with you, Tony, we've had this discussion before, and I think your listeners know that the state party has long had a position that we don't support recalls over policy differences. We think, and we what we're doing is preparing to hold these Republicans accountable at next fall's elections. We think that's the way that this should be done, and I now hope and welcome all the supporters of that group to join us in the effort to defeat Republicans in the November election.
I do want to share with this audience, Mark, that you did sit down with the folks from Michigan Rising. They shared that meeting with me. They asked me not to make it public, therefore I didn't, but you were very... You were very kind to these folks. You offered your private support. You said you wouldn't get in the way, which, of course, you never did anyway. And so I want to make sure that people know that the Michigan Democratic Party was not unsupportive of that effort. You just weren't going to jump in both feet and get involved. And you made that clear from the very beginning.
Yes, we've had a very cordial relationship with the group. We've talked. We've met, as you indicated. I indicated what the party's longstanding position was, but that we were not going to go out and publicly criticize them or do anything to undermine their effort, but simply indicate to them that the party was going in a different direction. And again, so I hope now that they will join us in preparing for the critical set of elections we confront in November.
Well, I'm sure they will, and we'll look forward to getting a statement from them in the very near future. In the meantime, Mark, I want to appreciate the time you gave us this morning. Wanted to make sure that we updated this Roy Schmidt case. This is not something that we can just ignore and allow to just go away. There are a lot of, and justifiably, again, I said this, not as a Democrat, as a voter, I have a right to know what happened here, and I'd like some answers. So I appreciate you stepping up and providing some leadership on this question.
Thank you, Tony. There'll be some other developments in the near future, I think, on the Thaddeus McCotter front. So your listeners should keep tuned for developments on the other Republican election scandal in the state in the 11th Congressional District.
Very good. Well, again, appreciate your time. We have Dr. Syed Taj on tomorrow. Looking forward to getting his thoughts on all of this as well. And, Mark, we'll talk to you again on Monday.
Thank you, Tony.
Appreciate it. Mark Brewer, again, chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party. Appreciate him giving us an update. So, Jeff, the recall effort is over. It was really nice of these folks to give me a call to let me know. Because God knows I haven't been very supportive of their efforts, have I?
Yeah, I just saw the news come across Twitter as well, and I had saw the story last night that they were going to have a meeting and reassess where they were at.
Right, you shared that with me this morning.
It seems like an awful quick, well, maybe not quick decision.
I don't think it was a quick decision. My disappointment is they had no problem utilizing me to get the word out, but when they decided that they were going to pull the plug on the recall, do you think they bothered to call the guy that hosted their rally or the guy that's given him more free airtime than anybody or the guy that supported them when no one else would? No, why would we want to go and do that? So, Michigan Rising, thank you so much for the way that you've supported this program. Not. Yeah, if it sounds a little bitter, I'm apologize because I'm very bitter. I'm not a little bitter. I'm very bitter. Shame on you. Shame on you, folks. I don't know. I just don't understand. I don't understand when you don't communicate. And I'm in the communications business, Jeff. It's what I do. When you don't communicate with your allies, this is what happens. You create divisiveness and you create bad blood. And that is what's happened here. That is what's happened here. I went out of my way to help these folks. As you know, Jeff went out of my way to help Michigan Rising. And this is how I'm treated. Not repaid. I wasn't looking for money. That wasn't what this was about. Just a little respect. And when you don't give it, and I did give it, by the way, and you don't get it back, we have a long memory. Have a very long memory. We'll not forget this. So best of luck to those of you on the fringes of that movement. There were a lot of people involved in the recall effort that are awfully good people. Awfully good people. And for those people, I feel sorry because not once but twice they were screwed over by the core group of people. A core group of people that just didn't have their stuff together and really didn't know what they were doing. That's clear. That they can call it reassessing. They can say, hey, looking at what happened in Wisconsin, we just have to be realistic. The reality is you couldn't incite people's passion a second time. We don't even go into the first time. The second time, you couldn't incite people's passion.
Now, do you think what happened in Wisconsin now squashes most recall efforts around the country?
I think, Jeff, it certainly, we'll talk about this more on the other side. I think it certainly gives people a reason to really kind of take a step back and assess that. Sure, I think that's fair. I think that's fair. We'll talk about it more on the other side. 888-552-3595 if you care to join us. I am Tony Trupiano. This is First Shift, and you're listening to 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Well, I think you hit a reset button for the fall campaign. Everything changes. It's almost like an Etch-a-Sketch. You can kind of shake it up, and we start all over again.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Checking your roadways, we just got a report of an accident on Telegraph southbound just before Finkel. Also, we got slow traffic on 94 westbound between Gratiot and Shane. Also, it's a slow go on 75 southbound between 14 Mile and 12 Mile. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 80 degrees. Tonight, it's going to drop down to a low of 58. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and 84, and it's currently 58 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining me now is Brian Miller, co-author of the book Self-Made Myth and executive director of United for a Fair Economy.
Broadly speaking, the work of United for a Fair Economy, we work with, as you mentioned, we do work with labor, we do work with community groups, we do work with low-income groups that are organizing for greater equality and a more broadly shared prosperity, but we also work with these business leaders, and that's really about that cross-class organizing that we strive to do, and because there's a role for everyone in this work. Garrett Gruner, founder of Ask.com, the internet search engine, he has this wonderful op-ed in the LA Times where he talked about no amount of tax breaks to the wealthy Americans are going to stimulate the economy if there's not a middle class capable of buying the products that are being made, and that there's a point when inequality gets so great that the economy, even if you don't care about values, the economy simply cannot sustain itself.
First Shift with Tony Triano on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
So, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Together we stand, divided we fall. Got something to get off your chest? Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595.
This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. I want to remind you at 7:35, Susan Demas from MirrorsAndMLive.com will be joining us. Always lots to talk about with Susan a little later on. Occupy Detroit occupies First Shift. But before we do any of that, we're open lines till the bottom of the hour. Our number, toll-free, 888-552-3595. The email address, tony@thetonyshow.org. Let us welcome Zach in Detroit to First Shift. Zach, thanks for punching in this morning. What's on your mind?
That's what I think about what happened in Wisconsin. And, you know, this may as well happen everywhere else. But, you know, basically, President Obama's been talking about the 1% versus the 99%. I think the problem is the vast majority of the people, they don't see the 1%. Because there's just a few of them, and they're only living in specific locations. What they do see every day is the policemen, the firemen, the teachers, and they see that these people are doing extremely well. Their property taxes are going up. The tax, you know, in general, taxes are going up everywhere. And that's primarily to support the pensions and all that. And I think when you see, I mean, you don't see the 1%. So you really don't relate the problem to them.
Yeah, Zach, I have to disagree with your characterization of the way that police and firemen and teachers are doing. They have been under attack the last year and a half, especially here in the state of Michigan. We see that their pensions are less secure than they've ever been. We see that we have lost more teachers, firemen, and policemen in the last 18 months than we have in the last 5 years combined. I don't think people look at those folks and say, yeah, things are okay. I don't think they think that at all.
No, what basically I'm saying is the average person comes more in contact with a teacher, a policeman, or a fireman than they do with, say, a CEO. I mean, just know, to be bluntly honest with you, I think they see that. Everybody kind of views their personal situation versus he's got something coming to him that whereas I don't. I think there's a lot of that that goes on.
Okay, well, I appreciate the call, Zach, as always, and you've called the show before. We're just going to, I think at this point, we're going to have to agree to disagree. I don't know that, and I really, maybe I should have asked him before I let him go what the point of the conversation was, because I'm not sure I understand the point of what he was trying to say.
I think I came away with something different. I think he was saying one thing, but I think he was kind of talking about the messaging. Like, there's been a good way to relate to somebody that, you know, the reason why you're facing the hardships you are is because we're paying off all these other people's pensions. And that's what's been attached to the problem, whereas it's been harder to message to people and say, hey, look, you know, the 1% has a hand in this as well. I mean, we've tried, you got the whole 99% movement, but do people honestly, I mean, has the message gotten across to them where they're like, yeah, you know what, maybe some of the hardship I'm feeling is the 1%'s fault. I mean, maybe that message is dulled or got lost along the way.
Well, there certainly is some truth to that. We need to be very careful, Jeff, on this show. We need to be very careful that we don't believe that everybody hears what we hear, reads what we read, understands what we understand, because not everybody does. In fact, the vast majority of people don't. I'm not naive enough to think that we have an audience of 30 million people every day and we're educating, yada, yada, yada. We've got an amazing amount of work to do. Although the show has grown exponentially since we first came on the air a year ago, May 2nd, there are mountains to climb and there is a ton of educating to do. So, you know, I think you make an important point. I don't know that people make that connection. People aren't watching, not everybody's watching the news, Fox News or MSNBC or CNN or anything else. The vast majority of people are apolitical, and that's the danger. That's the danger. Let's go back to the phones and welcome Stephen Monroe. Good morning, my friend. How are you today?
Good morning, Tony. I think the point Zach's trying to make is most people in the private sector, don't get defined pension plans. They have to, you know, save for the retirement through a 401k. And they see these public employees and, you know, they get a defined pension. Let's just say, I mean, for the sake of argument, let's just say it's $30,000 when they retire. A lot of them can retire with a full pension in their mid-50s. And if their life expectancy, if they live till they're 80, that's 25 years of paying $30,000 a year. Do the math and figure out how much somebody in the private sector would have to save to be able to retire comparably. And a lot of people, you know, say they're just tired of supporting these, you know, pension funds.
That's yeah, but, you know, that's Steve, here's my problem with that. I mean, very quickly, here's my problem. With that is that's what they were promised going in. And that you didn't know that that's what they were promised doesn't make it wrong, does it?
Well, here's the thing. That's the problem with collective bargaining that I find, Tony, is you're having people make promises for something that's going to be paid 20 or 30 years out when they have no idea what the economic conditions or the ability to pay that far out is going to be.
Well, then they shouldn't have agreed, but they shouldn't, Steve, they shouldn't agree to it to begin with. And people act like
that,
but it's not just on the union. That's on management. Management agrees. There are two signatures on every contract. Well, there are actually more than two, but. Well, I understand. I understand what it is you're trying to say. I mean, again, we don't totally disagree. And I appreciate the call, Steve. The bottom line, I got to try to get one more call in here before the break. The point that I want to make here is we can't plate this, and you were doing it, Steve. You were putting it on the unions. It's not just a union situation. Is it realistic? Yeah, I do believe it's realistic. If I'm told that I'm going to have a $30,000 a year pension, and I expect it to be there, then it should be there. That's a promise that was made. And if somebody on the management side of the equation didn't have the intelligence or didn't put the nuts and bolts in place to make sure they could guarantee me that for the next 25 years, shame on them. Shame on them. Of course, it's not that simple because somebody does have to pay it, right?
I wonder how Steve feels about the CEO is getting paid like $20 million. It's all of a sudden we were like, you know what? Let's bump that down to $5 million. I think he would argue, well, wait a minute. They signed a contract for this amount of money. They had planned on making that amount of money. You know, I mean, like that's exact same argument for that we're making, right?
You and I are on the same page on that one. Let's one more quick call before we get to the break. Let's welcome Will in Milford. Will, welcome to First Shift. What's on your mind this morning?
How you doing, Tony? I just wanted to say I think this is a perfect example of what politics have put us in this country. Here we are sitting as citizens working every day. All of us, we're in the rat race. We're doing our thing. And there's these splinter issues that get us to arguing amongst each other when those above us who don't feel our pain are more or less controlling all the, you know, have control of all the switches. Like the caller before the last caller was saying, you know, because we see teachers and they're in our community and it's something that we can directly address, then it's easy for us to make these opinions, while these other individuals who do not live, you know, let's get it straight, the rich have already succeeded from the nation. They live in gated communities. They go to private schools. They've already moved away from us, you know, but yet they
have to such an important point, Will. You make such an important point. A couple weeks ago, one of the things, and you've just done it perfectly, one of the messages I was really trying to deliver, and well, thank you for your call. One of the messages that I was really trying to deliver was that we've always had wealthy people in this country. No matter what the tax base was, whether the wealthy were paying 70% or 7%. That's right, 7%. Ask Mitt Romney. We've always had wealthy people in this country. There will always be wealth in this country. How much is enough? How much is too much? I don't have the answer to that question, but damn it, do we need to have the conversation? Susan Demas on the other side. Stay where you're at, folks. Lots to get to.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Checking your roadways, we just got a report of an accident on Telegraph southbound just before Finkel. Also, we got slow traffic on 94 westbound between Gratiot and Shane. Also, it's a slow go on 75 southbound between 14 Mile and 12 Mile. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 80 degrees. Tonight, it's going to drop down to a low of 58. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and 84, and it's currently 58 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham. AFL-CIO President Richard Trumka says despite Walker's win in Wisconsin, union voters overwhelmingly backed Walker opponent Tom Barrett in the historic gubernatorial recall election. A Hart Research Associates poll shows union voters voted against Walker by a 75-25% margin. Among public sector union members, it was 85-15% against Walker. Trumka says this isn't the end of the story, but the beginning.
We've been awed by the tremendous outpouring of solidarity and energy from Wisconsin's working families against some pretty overwhelming odds. The new model that Wisconsin's working families have built won't go away after one election. It will only grow.
Wisconsin voters recalled a Republican state Senate ally of Walker's, returning the state Senate to Democratic control. Trumka says the Wisconsin recall is not the crystal ball that predicts the future. The Wisconsin AFL-CIO, meanwhile, says while Walker was shielded by corporate cash, Wisconsin made its voice heard, and the groundwork was laid for a powerful movement to push back against extremist policies everywhere. Teamsters President Jim Hoffa says the Wisconsin recall election made labor stronger despite the outcome. Hoffa says Wisconsin's fight back has made the labor movement more active, more energetic, and informed. Hoffa says Tea Party governors will think twice before launching more attacks on workers' rights and benefits. Hoffa said Teamsters across the nation are more active and educated because of this historic Wisconsin recall election. Utility Workers of America Chief of Staff and former AFL-CIO Organizing Director Stuart Acuff says now more than ever before, working people must massively organize to overcome powerful rich interests intent on dominating our democracy to the detriment of working Americans.
And everything that's ever been done for people in America has not been done for them, but been done by them. And it's always taken organization. It is time for us to organize in a massive way, and that organization requires more than just voting. And that's never been more important than it is right now.
Acuff says working people must have hope for a better life, and he says that hope is a choice, a decision to join with others to work to build a better life.
The truth of the matter is, hope is not a feeling. Hope is a decision. And the history of the United States is the history of average people organizing for a better life, for more freedom and more justice.
Acuff has just published his new book, Playing Bigger Than You Are, A Life in Organizing. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet. We want to hear from you.
Interact with First Shift.
Find our First Shift with Tony Trupiano Facebook page.
Tweet us at Tony, T-R-U-P-I-A-N-O.
Or call us now,
1-888-552-3595.
Now, back to the show and Tony.
And welcome back. It is 35 minutes after 7 o'clock. Hope you're all having a good Thursday morning. It has been an interesting morning, has it not? We talked about some technical snafus behind the scenes yesterday, even this morning, and since then, all kinds of interesting stuff been going on. But we have one of my favorite regular guests on the other end of my line now. So let me turn my attention now to journalist extraordinaire Susan Demas, who joins us. Of course, you know she is from Mirrors and MLive.com, amongst the many other publications that she has published in. And Susan, it's a pleasure to have you with us this morning. And I'm going to start with a topic that may seem really unsexy, but I'll make my point here in just a moment. Certainly, Republicans are praising today, patting themselves on the back for again completing another budget really early, especially as compared to past years and past administrations. And I guess in some ways, that's a good thing, unless, of course, you're paying attention to where the money's going, and then maybe the news isn't all that great.
Right. I mean, we didn't see the really deep cuts this year that we saw last year, especially with education. But, you know, we didn't see a whole lot of, new spending, and we certainly didn't see them make up for the cuts that they made to K-12 schools or our universities, for instance.
Well, and certainly as we, you know, one of the things that the Democrats are making hay with today, as they should be, is this quote-unquote tax cut, which will give the average family $15 a year. And, Susan, let's just be honest about it. We understand that they did it for political reasons. They accelerate. It wasn't supposed to happen until later on this year, and so they accelerate that. And, of course, the Democrats did vote for it. How are you going to not vote for a tax cut, right?
But, right. But, you know, of course, Democrats offered up some more meaningful tax cuts that Republicans, ironically, refused to vote for, saying that was fiscally irresponsible, which, you know, is kind of interesting because Republicans usually have never met a tax cut that they didn't like. But, you know, we need to put this $15 actually in context, because last year, with the tax reform that Governor Snyder pushed through, there was a big business tax cut of about $1.8 billion, but that was offset by raising taxes on you and me, on individuals, $1.4 billion. The impact is not evenly felt, but basically the House Fiscal Agency, which is a nonpartisan entity, did some modeling, and really your tax hike is probably anywhere from about $150 to $3,300. So, you know, 15 bucks doesn't really go that far.
No, it really doesn't. And that's why I say we need to be careful, although the Republicans won't, in praising what they've done. I have no – listen, conceptually, this idea that you've got your budget put to bed before your summer break, I mean, that all sounds great, Susan Demas. But, again, once you start breaking this down and you start looking at what's going where, and we also actually had a governor that said just a week ago or so, maybe 10 days ago, listen, don't expect much from me this year. It's an election year, and I'm beginning to believe that that's another way of saying that he's not sure that he can work with this legislature in a bigger way. Transportation funding didn't get resolved. The bridge still is not resolved. There are still big issues that aren't being talked about.
That's true. You know, transportation in particular, you know, it seemed like he folded on that one pretty quickly. With the bridge, it seems pretty clear that Governor Snyder is going to go at it alone. We don't know what his proposal will be, but it's not going to involve the legislature. So we'll have to see what he has in store for us in that. But in terms of, you know, big items on the agenda, I wouldn't look for too many. I wouldn't look for lawmakers to really be in town very much before Election Day. You know, we'll have a couple days in the summer, maybe a couple days in September. I think they're taking off for all of October. So, no, I don't think we're going to see a mad dash to get a lot through.
Well, it'll be really interesting to see how all this plays out moving forward. Just for the sake of time, we're going to move on. We could not have a conversation this morning if we did not talk about Thaddeus McCotter, and certainly his political career is DOA. It is done. It's over. Stick a fork in it. But that doesn't mean the issue goes away, and it doesn't mean the 11th Congressional District doesn't have some challenges facing them.
Absolutely. I mean, right now, the only Republican on the ballot is a Tea Party candidate, Kerry Benevolio. He's a teacher out in Fowlerville. Nobody really knows him, but he's got the advantage of being on the ballot. Republicans like L. Brooks Patterson, the Oakland County executive, got folks together yesterday to say, hey, let's get together. Let's have a writing candidate we can all agree on. Let's go team. And that didn't really work out so well because, you know, when you see an open door, there are a lot of lawmakers, there are judges, everybody wants a piece of it. And the more people you have on the ballot, the less likely you are to have a more legitimate candidate get through.
Well, you know, it's what's fascinating about this for me, I ran against Thad McCotter in 2006, Susan.
Right.
I know there were, you know, some really solid people involved in my campaign. A lot of these people are involved in Dr. Taj's campaign. In fact, I have Dr. Taj on the show tomorrow. Very much looking forward to hearing what he has to say. Unfortunately, as we're looking at the media is still not looking as if evil. Even with all this mess, they're still not seeing that a Democrat could win in the 11th. I find that fascinating.
I think a Democrat could, especially if the candidate is Benevolio. I mean, it's a 57% Republican district, so let's make no bones about it. It's an uphill battle, but, you know, Dr. Taj has run a serious campaign. He's put in some of his own money. And I think most people, you know, objectively would say that, you know, he's a more legitimate candidate than Kerry Benevolio. It's just that he's got the party advantage.
Yeah, he does have the party advantage. Well, this will be one of those things you don't have to worry about anybody following because it's going to still continue to make news. I find this fascinating, and this kind of ties into what I want to end with today, Susan, because it's really kind of interesting. John Yab, who is a Republican consultant strategist, really kind of positioning himself as a know-it-all right now, and in some regards, he is, but we take a look at, you know, I always, of course, like to say it's about the Republicans eating their own, because right now they are in an extraordinary and historic way. We go back a couple weeks to the Republican convention in Cobo, where the governor's hand-picked delegates don't get elected to the national platform. And then we take a look at what's happening now with Thad McCotter. The Republicans should be in the driver's seat. They should be enjoying the fruits of lots of different labors. They seem to be more disorganized than they've ever been, or am I getting it wrong?
No, they are. I mean, you have the Tea Party, which, you know, is a new force out in Republican politics, and, you know, these folks don't play by the same rules, and they're not real interested in governance. And, you know, a guy like John Yap can make a lot of money off of them, and guys like Dave Ajmo, who's our new national committeeman.
This is just, it's unfathomable. Watching all this happen is, and you wouldn't, if you'd have told me a year ago this is what would be going on, I would have thought you would be crazy. But yet, here we are. I mean, we're seeing it happen right before our eyes.
Well, when you keep shifting further and further right, you know, people who used to be ultra-conservatives, you know, like Saul Anouzis, are now considered to be liberals. And that's what happens in this process.
I just don't get it. It's just crazy. You know, Susan Demas, the thing that gets me is I and maybe I'm just reading the wrong stuff or looking at the wrong polls. I don't know what it is, but I don't see the Tea Party really doing that much except for continuing to make a lot of noise.
Well, they're very good at saying no, and that's about it. But, you know, right now they're in the opposition in Washington, and so it's effective to say no.
You know, normally we go into the summer months, even in election year, expecting things to be a little quieter. I keep on warning this audience, I don't think this is going to be the quiet summer that many are expecting. I think there's too much to be decided yet.
Well, we have another budget crisis in Washington with, that the Republicans are pushing. So, no, I don't think it's going to be quiet at all.
That's crazy. I mean, it's just absolutely insane. I'm watching this. And then last but not least, I'll leave you with this. Talks of Mark Brewer planting people at Tea Party events to ask Pete Hoekstra questions that he doesn't want to answer. That made me laugh, Susan.
Yeah, you know what? I'm not going to rule it out because, you know, Mark's a clever guy. You know, hey, maybe he's doing it. But the point is that nobody told Pete Hoekstra to say, we need a birther czar. We need a birther office. He offered that up. So, you know, if he fell into a Mark Brewer trap, that's his own fault.
Well, that's the funny thing about it is he says, well, they keep, you know, they're asked, they're planning people at these events, at these Tea Party events, and then they're saying, you know, they're trying to hold me accountable for what I'm saying. Yeah, Pete, that's the way it works.
And he could have walked it back at any time, and, you know, he keeps saying, hey, I just thought this was a good idea.
Or he could have said, I have no comment on that.
Or he could have said, I believe the president is a citizen. Let's move on.
No, he didn't do any of that. Of course, there is no moving on. This whole Senate race. I think if Debbie Stabenow just stays quiet and keeps doing what she's doing, she's going to be just fine. They're going to take care of themselves. I'm telling you, once I'm going to say, Susan, by the end of this month, they're going to have to start spending money statewide, Clark Durant and Pete Hoekstra. It'll be fascinating to see how they hurt each other leading up to the primary. I can't even fathom what that does to help Debbie Stabenow.
And don't forget, there's Gary Glenn. He's the Tea Party guy.
That's true.
American Family Association. So I'm sure he'll be up with that, too. Lots of stuff on gay marriage ahead, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's for sure. No question about it. All right, Susan, as always, it's a pleasure to spend some time with you. We appreciate the time we do get. I ask that you have a great day, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, you too.
You bet. Susan Demas again with M Live and with Mears. We're going to take a quick break. Occupy Detroit is with First Shift on the other side. So everybody stay right where they're at. I'm Tony Truppiano. This is First Shift, and you're listening to 1310 WDTW. We'll be back.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
In 2009, I took office in the face of some enormous challenges. Now, some have said I blame too many problems on my predecessor, but let's not forget that's a practice that was initiated by George W. Bush.
On 1310 WDTW.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
feed pouring,
drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for,
and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020.
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan.
Your future is waiting for you now.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Elizabeth Weidner joins us now.
The founders of our nation who wrote the Constitution specifically gave the federal government the power to speak with one voice for our nation with respect to immigration and foreign affairs. And so the Solicitor General, Don Verrilli, made this argument to the court yesterday saying, look, you know, the way that we treat non-citizens and nationals of other countries within our borders is a serious matter that has foreign affairs implications, that affects everyone in the United States. So what Arizona or Alabama or Utah chooses to do in harassing people in its state so much so that they, as Arizona puts it, self-deport, that has implications for the country as a whole. And that's why individual states should not be setting immigration policy like Arizona.
On 1310 WDTW,
unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter.
Follow us, like us,
love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet.
Tony and the crew are punching back in and looking to hear from you.
1-888-552-3595.
Tell us what's on your mind.
Now,
here's First Shift and Tony Trupiano.
And 10 minutes before 8 o'clock on this Thursday morning. It has been a colorful morning, has it not? Yes, it has. All right, very quickly, let's go to our activist corner and welcome Shannon McEvely. She's going to tell us about an organization that I only heard about for the first time a couple weeks ago. They sent me a press release, and I've been kind of curious as to what they're all about. So not only will we get some information on what they're about, but what they're up to, and we're going to do it all right now. Shannon, welcome back. A pleasure to talk to you again.
Good morning, Tony. As always, great to be with you.
I do appreciate it. Mothering Justice. All right, now give me some background here, because this is a new group for me.
Yeah, it's Mothering Justice is an organization made up of all kinds of different groups. It's a coalition that includes the AFT, it includes the UAW, it includes some family-oriented community groups as well as some women's groups. And you may have heard a couple weeks ago, they held a press conference with Rashida Tlaib, who is kind of, I guess, leading the charge in our state legislature for the kind of policies that this group is pursuing around Mother's Day to announce what they're calling it the Mama's Agenda, which includes things like paid family medical leave insurance, includes things like affordable child care, raising the minimum wage, things like that. And basically what the organization stands for and what the organization is pursuing are real family-friendly policies that this state is in desperate need of.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Shannon, before you continue, because I think about, you know, just yesterday we talked about an omnibus package that's headed for discussion today in the state legislature that's anti-women. It's anti-women, it's anti-abortion, it's anti-family. You know, certainly our friends at Planned Parenthood brought this to our attention yesterday. And you're right, we do need champions in the legislature that'll step up and start talking about and advocating for the things that do matter to moms.
Exactly. And it's absolutely, for me, I mean, this proposed legislation has received absolutely no attention in our Republican legislature, none whatsoever. And what they're instead choosing to pursue is the most extremely anti-women package of bills that we've ever seen in this state, which to me is, you know, and I think to everyone, you know, who cares about this kind of thing is absolutely horrifying, because there's so much that we could be doing and that the legislature could be doing to help families and to improve the circumstances of, you know, of families and their children. And instead what we're seeing is them pursuing this just, I can't even begin to describe, you know, right wing and extreme doesn't even begin to properly describe the set of bills that they're discussing today in the Health Policy Committee.
And Shannon, it's really fascinating, and I really kind of do take a gut check on this. I'll take a step back from time to time and say, okay, you know, Tony, maybe it's your, I'll even say, extreme liberal perspective on the world, and, you know, maybe that's why you're reacting the way you're reacting to things. But, Shannon, as I take a look at what, especially here in the state of Michigan, we can talk about federal policy some other time, but especially here in the state of Michigan, when we look at what this Republican legislature has done to working families, to women, and I can go on and on, this isn't an extreme or liberal overreaction to what's going on. And what I feel is that they're saying, listen, how extreme can we be as quickly as we can possibly be until our window disappears? Because the voters actually might wake up in November and turn the House back to the Democrats, and then this fund that we're having is going to all go away. And I don't mean to sound snarky about that. I think there's some real reality to that.
Oh, I think you're absolutely right, Tony. And this is, for everything that the legislature has done, and, you know, we've all been paying very good attention, they've done some really, really extreme, and I would characterize them as hateful things to working people, to families. And these bills that they're discussing today, some of them are such an extreme overreach. And not just for women, and that's the thing, it's not even just for abortion, although something that gets lost a lot in any kind of abortion discussion is that most women who get abortions are already mothers. So this is an issue that affects families more than it affects single women, just as a majority. But there's elements in this bill that, as you know, Tony, I'm expecting my first child. There's elements in this bill that if I were to face certain complications in my pregnancy that would make it more difficult for me to access health care, certain elements of health care, certain things that could end up saving my life as a pregnant woman could make that more difficult for me to access, endangering me, endangering my baby. I'm just one person. So this is something that I am absolutely terrified of, just on a very, you know, visceral personal level. Absolutely terrified of.
And Shannon, what does this also do to your doctor? You know, that's the other part. People don't consider what this does to your physician. This handcuffs them. This forces them to be something they're not.
Oh, absolutely. And that's the thing. And it's one of those things that, you know what, if you don't care about women, you don't think that we can make our own reproductive choices. You don't think that, you know, you think we need to be babysat. You think we need to be, you know, this or that. What this also does is take away the agency of doctors to be doctors. It really does. You're absolutely right, is that it handcuffs medical practitioners in a lot of ways. And even if, you know, none of them would ever come out and say that they're anti-woman. But even if deep down that's how you feel, that women can't be responsible for their own health decisions, if you don't think that doctors should be responsible for guiding people correctly in their health decisions, if you think that Republican legislators, you know, are more educated, are better suited to make those decisions, I don't even know what planet, you know, that's true on. And I think we're dealing with just an entirely different kind of mindset that I don't even know the first thing about combating.
No, and we're just about out of time. I will say this, and I'm not saying that there aren't women that are opposed to abortion. There are. But that's not what this issue is about, and it never was about that. What I find fascinating, Shannon, is that 99.9999% of the people, quote unquote, people I hear from are men on this issue. It doesn't affect them in any way, shape, or form. As you said, these are family issues, but most men don't see them as family issues. They see them as control issues. And that's the sad part of this, because they can't divorce themselves from the reality of why a woman needs reproductive choices. They don't get it. They just don't. And that's sad. We're out of time, unfortunately. Right. Shannon, I want to thank you for being with us. I'm sure we'll be hearing more about Mothering Justice. And as always, I appreciate you spending some time with us today.
Thank you so much, Tony.
You bet. We'll take a break. Kevin Moore from Teamsters Local 299 on the other side. Stay with us.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
We're watching an accident over on 275 northbound, just after Ford Road that has your left shoulder blocked. And we got reports of glass on the roadway, so use some caution there. Also, we got heavy traffic on 275 southbound between 96 and Ann Arbor Road. And it's a slow go on southbound 75 between 9 and 8 mile. And it's a slow go on 94 westbound between Connor and Shane. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 80 degrees. Tonight, it's going to drop down to a low of 58. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and 84, and it's currently 58 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us,
like us,
love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet. Hey, it's Jeff from First Shift. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit, home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Now, NBC News with the latest.
NBC News Radio, I'm Jim McLeshevsky. Suddenly bullish on Wall Street, coming off the best trading day of the year as investors await Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke's take on the economy. CNBC's Mary Thompson.
Still too many big problems here and abroad to call an all clear, but near term, stocks could extend their climb today if they perceive Bernanke's comments as being friendly.
This morning, stock futures point to a higher open. Defense Secretary Leon Panetta is in Afghanistan, taking stock of progress in the war and talking with U.S. commanders. He's also calling on Pakistan to root out Al-Qaeda-linked terrorists blamed for attacks on Americans. Health advocates are holding the first-ever national soda summit in Washington, D.C. They're calling for a crackdown on those sugar-sweetened drinks. And only in America, Nike's hot new Air Yeezy 2 sneakers are out Saturday with an official price tag of $245, but they're already available on eBay with bids running as high as $2,000. At least shipping is free. This is NBC News Radio. In Syria, claims of another gruesome massacre by government troops. Opposition forces say dozens of people were killed, including women and children, in central Syria. NBC's Ayman Mohideen.
Activists inside and outside of Syria are describing it yet as another massacre, this one taking place near the city of Hama in a small village, home to about 250 people. They are saying 92 people have been killed.
No independent verification as of yet. Syria calls the claims baseless. Another blow to online security. The accounts of some users of LinkedIn and the dating site eHarmony have been compromised after users' encrypted passwords were posted on the Internet. Tech analysts are encouraging users to change their passwords on the sites just to play it safe. And our high-tech gizmos are important but not indispensable, according to a survey that finds most people would give up their cell phone rather than their computer, and they'd prefer to live without social networking rather than give up TV. More news at MSNBC.com. I'm Jim McLeshevsky, NBC News Radio.
500 new business cards. That's 500 first impressions.
At Staples, we know your business printing is important.
30 copies of a killer proposal. 30 yeses to a career-changing deal.
So Staples certified print pros make sure it's perfect.
One new store sign, thousands of new shoppers.
Great business printing can be the difference between making a sale and missing one. For a limited time, buy 200 instant business cards and get 200 free. Order in-store or at staples.com/instant. Staples Instant Printing. Get it made today. Staples. That was easy.
Do you know what this is? How about this? This is the sound of everything Dad loves and more. And right now, it's all at Sears, with great prices on all his favorites, like Levi's jeans, Kenmore grills, Craftsman tools, and an LG 50-inch HD TV for just $499.99. That's the lowest price ever. Plus, when you shop your way at Sears, you can buy online and pick up today. This is Destination Dad. This is Sears. Restrictions apply. See store for details.
Elvis is about to be back in the building. Months after digital effects company Digital Domain Media famously brought Tupac Shakur back to life in virtual holographic form at a music festival, it plans to do the same with Elvis. But which version of the king, you may ask? Skinny early Elvis? Army Elvis? Movie Elvis? Comeback Elvis? Sequined Elvis? The company says there will be several versions. Only one version of the truth for the Men's Warehouse, and it's bad. Stock in the suit and tie retailer tumbled 19% in extended trading after the company reported higher sales but also higher costs that pulled down earnings and caused a dour forecast. China has cut its key lending rate this morning, and following that, European stock markets and U.S. stock futures turned little gains into rather impressive ones, especially considering that yesterday was the best day of the year so far for Wall Street and for several European stock markets. Right now, S&P futures are gaining 11 points, NASDAQ futures up 18. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
At Regions, we're building a better banking experience for each small business customer. That means giving you the basics, like checking and savings, as well as offering the right lending options. Because we understand how important capital, revenue, and cash flow are to your small business. So if you're ready for a bank that's as committed to growing your business as you are, switch to Regions. Visit Regions.com/yourbusiness today. Regions, it's time to expect more. Regions Bank, member FDIC. All loans subject to credit approval. See individual account disclosures for details.
Smart companies everywhere are getting dressed at Land's End Business Outfitters. We'll embroider your company logo on everything from polos to outerwear. Our quality will unify your team and make your brand better. Small companies to market leaders like Hampton Hotels and Southwest Airlines are dressing their employees at Land's End Business Outfitters. Now let us show you your good name on our good products. Visit landsend.biz. That's landsend.biz.
Did you know that a clean engine helps improve fuel economy? Did you know that reduced engine deposits help improve fuel economy? Cleaner intake valves? That helps improve fuel economy too. That's why all Exxon and Mobil gasoline is specifically formulated to help clean intake valves and vital engine parts. To help your engine run cleaner, smoother, produce less emissions, and get better fuel economy. Learn more at fuelprogress.com. Exxon and Mobil. Gasoline that works smarter for you. Think clean.
Smart companies everywhere are getting dressed at Land's End Business Outfitters. We'll embroider your company logo on everything from polos to outerwear. Our quality will unify your team and make your brand better. Small companies to market leaders like Hampton Hotels and Southwest Airlines are dressing their employees at Land's End Business Outfitters. Now let us show you your good name on our good products. Visit landsend.biz. That's Land's.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and/or Clear Channel Radio.
2012 creates the promise of change.
But what kind of change? And what say do you have in that change?
2012 carries the promise of hope.
But is hope enough to usher change?
2012 can deliver us from the horror of the past.
But can you and will you commit to making the effort to move beyond words to action?
First Shift is ready to lead if you are ready to join us.
And if you are ready, then strap in.
Because from this point forward,
we will accept nothing but the path to victory.
And that path starts here.
And now, First Shift
with Tony Trupiano.
Pleasure to be back with you. 6 minutes after 8 o'clock on this Thursday, the 7th day of June 2012. It's been a really interesting morning, and it's going to get even more interesting. We will have some time for open lines a little bit later on in this hour. So if that's something that you've been saying, hey, they need to do more of that, well, we're going to take care of that this hour, I promise. In the meantime, if you want to join us, tony@thetonyshow.org. You can also, of course, follow us on Twitter or send questions that way, at Tony Trupiano. And our toll-free number, 888-552-3595. With that said, we have Kevin Moore waiting, so let's get our intros out of the way and let's get this thing going.
Joining us now from Teamsters Local 299.
A labor leader who defines with his deeds leadership and bravely guides his membership with courage and strength.
Here we are today embarking on another fight, another challenge that the state of Michigan is continuously attacking working class families. Not just union families, working class families, middle class people in Michigan are under the biggest attack of their lifetime.
The plain talking union man, Kevin Moore.
And joining us now via the telephone is my good friend and president of Teamsters Local 299, Mr. Kevin Moore. Kevin, a pleasure to have you back with us.
Yeah, good morning, Tony. I was on my way to the radio show this morning, live, and I happened to hit one of the Michigan potholes, and thank God I got back home in time to get on the phone.
Okay, well, I appreciate that, and unfortunately, I know exactly what you're talking about. That's happened to me more than once in my illustrious driving career. Kevin, we're going to, in just a minute here, we're going to talk about what we'll call the aftermath of the Wisconsin recall. But before we do that, I want to play a little audio for you and the audience from CNN on the Wisconsin recall. Let's listen.
Walker first defeated Barrett for the job in 2010, then led a successful Republican effort to strip away most collective bargaining rights for the state's public employees in March 2011. Prompting labor unions and Democrats to target him for recall. Walker and national Republicans responded aggressively, launching an unprecedented fundraising and TV ad campaign, outspending Barrett and his labor allies by a 3-to-1 margin on the air alone. Overall, nearly as much money was spent in this one state for one election than Mitt Romney has spent to secure the Republican presidential nomination. National Republicans were quick today to use Walker's victory as a rallying cry for November.
The American people have had it with big government and high taxes and a regulatory system that knows no bounds.
But Walker himself seemed hesitant to draw national conclusions, noting Mitt Romney trails the president in his home state.
I think he is an underdog. I think he'd acknowledge he's underdog, particularly here in Wisconsin.
Walker benefited from the fact that Wisconsin voters seemed conflicted about the recall process. In exit polls, 60% said the recall should only be used against office holders who commit official misconduct. That sentiment was clear today.
It just seems like some people were mad. They didn't get their way. And it was kind of sour grapes and just kind of really took things to a whole nother level.
I don't think all the money was worth it. I mean, in the end, he still won. What was the point?
Well, that's interesting. So, Kevin, as we take it, let's, because you and I are not one of those people that hides behind words. We're not going to hide behind anything here. The criticism is that the Democrats and that labor lost the day before yesterday, not Scott, not Tom Barrett. Do you agree with that?
No, I do not agree with that. I mean, it's another shell game that the big power Republican people, you know, the Koch brothers, I hate to just keep bringing them up, but they have so much money that they just enjoy playing with their power. And they have enormous amount of money to confuse the middle-class working people that go to work every day and don't have the luxury to sit home and meddle with people's lives. And it, again, though, Tony, is what scares me so much about the fall in Michigan is they are going to start now. They will set their sights on Michigan, and all this 1% money is going to come in here, and the working class Michigan of people are going to get confused, and they're going to get misled, and they vote by their TV ads and the stump speeches that these people give, and it scares me.
Well, you know, it was you just 2 weeks ago to the moment that warned this audience that they shouldn't believe the polls and don't believe the pundits, that Michigan needs to truly get to work and understand that this is going to take getting out the vote, it's going to take Democrats ignoring the message, and it's going to take us talking to independents and Republicans and getting them to understand that this isn't about what the wealthy are going to tell you. They had said in that piece that in the media alone, they outspent 3-to-1. The reality is, in this campaign, the Republicans outspent the Democrats 9-to-1, Kevin Moore. That's a lot of freaking money, dude.
Oh, and it's just the caveat of what they're going to start doing here in Michigan now. You know, the 9-to-1 on money is unbelievable. And we did some polling a couple weeks ago, and we are actually ahead in this campaign by the pollsters, 9%. And I don't have all the faith in the world in pollsters because we've seen that gets misled many times. But we were ahead. We were ahead in the mid-afternoon in Wisconsin in this race. And at the end of the day, the power money, the misled guided ads and things on TV. That's why I try to tell our members, our working-class citizens in Michigan. I was at a event last night talking to hundreds of people that, you know, we get it, Tony. You get it. You live it every day. Your son lives it. My son lives it. But we are the minority here. We understand what's going on in this country and in our state, but the average citizen doesn't get it. Goes to work every day, comes home, and he's just fighting to keep his health care. Fighting to keep his health care, not working to have health care, fighting to keep it. So, you know, they can be misled in a minute. You know, there's so much TV ads that go on that actually brainwash our citizens. It's amazing.
Yeah, and Kevin, it's something fairly remarkable, at least in my world, happened last week. And I just want to mention, you know, I ran into you as I was headed from one place to another, and you're having dinner with your family, which included your parents, and it included your son and your wife. My point is there were three generations of Moors sitting at that table, all three of them having very different experiences politically. And I just I got to tell you, when I drove away that evening, it really got my mind going. What different life experiences, and of course your son's story is not yet being done, being told. But man, what we do, what you and I do in this election, matters to what your son and my son will do moving forward.
Oh, not just my son and your son. Your sons and my son's children. I mean, they're setting the stepping stone for generations of what's going to happen to the middle-class families in this country. I mean, you have your, thank God you have your son Anthony working at the radio show. He's a very bright young man, educated, energized, ready to move. I have a son that's kind of in abyss right now. He doesn't know what he wants to do. But, you know, their future is not looking very well. And if you go beyond that and look at his children, you know, and you have the pleasure to have a grandchild who is now at the age where he's playing sports at our city in Dearborn Heights. But his future is not looking too good, Tony. And if we don't wake up, they're not going to have a future in America. Because we are not the one percenters, my friend.
Well, yeah, it's interesting. Earlier in the show, we had a couple calls. I think it was three calls altogether that kind of dealt with this issue. So it's fascinating that you bring this up, Kevin. And as we really take a look at what that means, you had said something 5 minutes ago that really piqued my interest, that the average person just doesn't understand how tenuous things are. The average person doesn't know that even though they have their health care today, they may not have it tomorrow. And unfortunately, like so many things, and I preach this everywhere I go, unfortunately, politics doesn't really affect people until it's personal. We've got to get away from that mindset, Kevin. It can't be just when it hurts you. You need to start looking at these things as you do with a little more vision.
Excuse me, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
You know, Tony, the thing that really is making me proud of, and I'm just going to use a focal point of my Teamster membership in a Teamsters movement, 299, Joint Council 43 of Michigan, being led by Dave Robinson and Greg Nowak. We are changing and redefining them lines. It used to be for years and years and years, people only cared when it happened to them personally, or they only cared when it happened to their company that they worked at personally. Now people are starting to see, you know, I have truck drivers that are worried about what's going on with the teachers, you know, taking their health care and escalating it to where, you know, they make $30,000 a year after going to college for 4 years, sometimes 6 years, and having an enormous amount of debt and have to absorb 30% out of pocket for health care. My members and the Teamster members, and I'm sure the UAW and the UFCW, we're educating our members. Today's fight could be at your doorstep tomorrow. It could be you. So it used to be you only cared when it was your issue. Now, you know what? We are transforming the workers of Michigan to understand.
And in fact, okay. I want to, we got to get to the break, Kevin. We come back, we're going to talk about that. Your international president, James Hoffa, had something to say on that very issue to the national press yesterday. We'll come back and talk about that. I'm Tony Trupiano. Kevin Moore, president of Teamsters Local 299, is my guest. Feel free to join us, 888-552-3595. Let's get to the break.
Chip with Tony Trujillo.
Barack Obama is a moderate progressive with the emphasis on moderate. Most socialists are insulted when Barack Obama is called a socialist. It's absurd that this man is a socialist.
On 1310
WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Checking your drive, we're watching an accident on 23 Mile Road westbound at 94 that has the right side of the ramp blocked. Also, we got an accident on the Lodge northbound at the 10 Mile Evergreen Road exit. That's blocking your left lane, and you got slow traffic from the Southfield Freeway. And we got a report of a deer in the right lane on 75 northbound at East Holly Road exit. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 80 degrees. Tonight, it's going to drop down to a low of 58. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and 84, and it's currently 58 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
feed pouring, drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for,
and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan. Please call 313-962-5020 Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk 1310 WDTW.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Joining us now is my good friend, Congressman Hanson Clark.
Student loan debt, it's a debt that can never go away. You can go bankrupt, and the government will still force you to pay on your student loans. You could be 80 years old, like I met a lady, and she still has to pay on her student loans, even though she's on a fixed income, and she'll never be able to pay it off. This debt is also costing us jobs, because think about it. Our graduates, those who are motivated, disciplined, and ambitious to go to school and get their education, they're the ones likely to go into business to create jobs. But they can't do that because they're in so much student loan debt, they don't have the money to start their own business or buy a home or maybe even get married.
On 1310 WDTW, unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He's comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great girdly moodly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Got something to tell Tony?
1-888-552-3595.
Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Now time to punch back in.
Kevin Moore joins us at 22 minutes after 8 o'clock. He is, of course, president of Teamsters Local 299. Kevin, your international president gave an interview to the national press yesterday and said what Wisconsin did for the labor movement, more than anything else, was to help re-energize, to refocus, and to give us an opportunity to continue to educate people on issues that, if nothing else, and there's of course a lot more to it, but if nothing else, we now know that union membership will be much more engaged. We talked about this the last time you were on the show. We actually talked about this as well a few weeks back when we talked about how many Teamsters had become delegates here in the state of Michigan. The Teamsters are very focused, Kevin, on making sure that their membership is educated. You'll let them make their own decision. That's not the issue. The issue is they need to know how to make the decision to begin with. And so this idea that we get them more engaged is an important idea and one that the Teamsters are committed to.
Well, we're committed to on a national level. I have the luxury to have some great leaders in Michigan, some great union folks in Michigan. We are a little bit better than the average in America out there, Tony, is our state has an enormous amount of unionized workers still in this country. And that's why we got the target on our back, and it's good to see with the POJ, is scary as it is, it's good to see that all the unions now coming together to join one common fight. But if you don't educate your members, you are, you know, shallow, you're behind a curve, them days are over with. You have to have smarter membership than you are, and if you don't educate them, so they can be talking about, instead of sitting around the lunchroom table talking about the demise of the Detroit Pistons, which will take another, your grandchild will probably be older when this becomes good. But if we don't, we have to change the dynamics of the workplace and the conversation at the workplace and the conversation at home at the dinner table, you know, and start dwelling and educating our children and our workforce about what's really happening around them. Here's the thing. They work them 12 hours a day, 13 hours a day. It used to be a 40-hour work week, and that's what unions brought. 8-hour pay, 40-hour work week, weekends off, health care, and then pensions. You know, now they're working them, they got to work 60 to 70 hours a week to make the same money because their pay has dropped 15%. They're paying 30% out of their pocket for their health care. You know, so they don't have the time to. They come home, they see their children, they have dinner, they go to bed, they get up and start another work day. And that's exactly what the one percenters in this country are doing, working them like slaves, keeping them, you know, uneducated. And that's how society's going. 2-3 jobs, children and health care, latchkey. I mean, it's not hard. I mean, Wisconsin, what was the union density, Tony? 10%, maybe.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about this for a minute because although polling can be predictive, it's a science and not always an exact science. Unlike exit polling, Kevin, which is an exact science because you're asking people as they're walking out of the voting booth a series of questions, and you're asking them specifically. 75% of the union families that voted for the Democrat. 85% of the union families that showed up to vote voted for the Democrat because they understand that collective bargaining has been threatened. Union families were much and far more educated, according to the exit polling, than the average voter. In fact, the average voter in Wisconsin was confused as to even why there was an election. I think that says more about union families than anything I could ever say.
Absolutely, and here, that's exactly why we talk about it. And you've been at our meetings and in conversation, and that's exactly why our general president speaks about it all over this country, is educating and organizing workers of America, because you have an opportunity to give them an opportunity to see what collective bargaining will bring them. What a union contract will bring them, not only just security and a job, but conditions and health care. It is the most important thing that we can do in America is educate and organize workers of America. And we're now, what, nationwide at, what, 9.5%? And we used to be at 18%?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not rocket science here.
You know, somebody sent me an email a little earlier in the show today about union membership and why Republicans are so threatened by unions, because they do things like lift up the quality of life for everybody. They don't just lift up the quality of life for just union members. They lift up the quality of life for all working families. It's just an honest-to-God's truth. And if I'm part of the 1%, and I don't want to pay more money, then I want to defeat the unions. It's not about defeating the union. That's about defeating working class America. This is a war on all of working class America, Kevin Moore, not just on unions.
Well, you and I speak about that on a daily basis, Tony. Everywhere you go, I've seen you speak, you know, from young people to senior citizens. It is a continuous attack on the worker. Forget the union word here. That's what the project, the POJ is doing in Michigan. You know, what people don't understand is the union worker, and I'll use UPS. We have 300,000 UPS Teamsters in America, and they work for a large, great corporation. But you know what that corporation understands? They embrace unionized workers because they keep them there for 30 years. They don't have a transit workforce rolling out the door every other month. They pay them great wages, great health care, great pension. They keep them 30 years, and do they work their butt off? Let me tell you something. You ever see a UPS worker stop and talk to you more than 10 seconds? They count their footsteps. But they pay them good wages, and the worker knows it. And he goes to work every day and makes a good living. Now, take the other side of it. FedEx, non-union, terrorizing company that just abuses their workers and conditions. They pay them what they do because UPS is the threshold. If UPS paid their workers $10 an hour, FedEx would pay them $7 an hour. The unions build the bar. They set the bar. These non-union companies have to at least come close to the bar, otherwise we're knocking on their door and defeating them every day.
You know, folks, let me make this real simple. And just don't have to believe a word that Kevin says. The next time you have a UPS driver come to your door, ask them if they're happy with their job. The next time a FedEx driver comes to the door, ask them the same question. They will be honest with you. You will be astounded at the answers. You will be astounded. I'm just telling you, do it. I've done it. Just do it. You'll see. You'll see. All right. Kevin, we're just out of time for today. As always, I appreciate the time you give to the show. Of course, you need to now go get your tire fixed, and I apologize for that. But I'm glad that we had some time with you today anyway.
Tony, I look forward to this every 2 weeks, and please keep up the fight you're doing. You guys are doing a remarkable job, and God bless your listeners, and I can't thank you enough for having the pleasure to be on this radio show.
My pleasure. Kevin Moore, president of Teamsters Local 299. Let's take a quick break here. We're open lines on the other side, by the way, 888-552-3595. Give us a call. First Shift will continue on 1310 WDTW right after this.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Checking your drive, we're watching an accident on 23 Mile Road westbound at 94 that has the right side of the ramp blocked. Also, we got an accident on the Lodge northbound at the 10 Mile Evergreen Road exit that's blocking your left lane, and you got slow traffic from the Southfield Freeway. And we got a report of a deer in the right lane on 75 northbound at East Holly Road exit. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 80 degrees. Tonight, it's going to drop down to a low of 58. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and 84, and it's currently 58 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
First Shift with Tony Triano.
Joining me now is Madeline Kunin.
You know, I had no clue that we would be talking about contraception in 2012. That takes us back to the 1930s or 40s, you know, when Margaret Sanger, who started the birth control movement, was arrested for opening a clinic. You know, progress is not necessarily a straight line upward.
On 1310 WDTW.
In April, Jamie Dimon, the swaggering chief of J.P. Morgan Chase, scoffed at critics who warned that his bank's high-flying investment division was dangerously overextended and risking collapse. A complete tempest in a teapot, scoffed Diamond. A month later, however, Jamie's teapot exploded, blowing a $3 billion hole in the nation's largest bank and in Diamond's reputation. Poor Jamie. Why didn't someone tell him? They tried. As early as 2009, J.P. Morgan's own internal risk managers raised concerns that this out-of-control division was pouring billions of dollars into speculative trades that were too large and too complex even to understand, much less manage. But their caution was dismissed, and Diamond himself pushed for more of these wondrous schemes. Okay, but where were the federal regulators who were supposed to dog banker excess, shoved aside by Diamond? While more than 100 government inspectors were embedded in J.P. Morgan, none were in the reckless investment division. The bank's big shot boss, who's tightly wired to the top leaders of both political parties, had aggressively pushed against having regulators hovering around his hot investment profit center, assuring the overseers that nothing was happening in there worth watching. Diamond had extra clout, for not only is he a Wall Street star, but, get this, he also has a seat on the board of the New York branch of the Federal Reserve, which has regulatory authority over Wall Street. Indeed, the New York Fed will now conduct the inquiry into J.P. Morgan's disastrous risk-taking. Yes, Jamie the Fed official will investigate Jamie the banker. This is Jim Hightower saying, these banks are simply too big. Too big for managers, regulators, and the public interest. We don't need another regulatory band-aid. We need Teddy Roosevelt to bust them up.
Hightower's commentary is brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown. From Wall Street to Washington, this monthly newsletter reveals who's doing what to whom and why. Check it out, HightowerLowdown.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet. Union. Solidarity. Democracy. We make a difference when you give your voice. What's on your mind? 1-888-552-3595. You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And we are open lines for the balance of the hour. I want to thank Kevin Moore once again for his service to this program. Hopefully we'll have him in studio the next time. Life does what it does to us. You got the number, so feel free to join us. The email address, tony@thetonyshow.org. And I'm going to go right to the phones. I want to welcome Jesse in Detroit to First Shift. And Jesse, thanks for punching in this morning. What's on your mind?
Yeah, how you doing, Tony, and your audience? You came to our district meeting last year, so 14th Congressional District.
Absolutely, my brother Rick Blocker.
Yeah, so don't stay away so long.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm a delegate to the convention in September.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and I was also a delegate in 92. I was a Jerry Brown delegate in 1992. And... we have to get, you know, we got to understand that we got election in August. So we have to be focused on August. But as delegates, we have to keep in mind that we have to go until November. And one of the things that my concern was, it came out in the media that the Democratic chair of Wisconsin had asked for $500,000. Why was there any discussion on the airways about that pittance?
Why was there no discussion?
Why was there discussion all over the airways about Wisconsin needing some money to get out the vote or whatever they was doing?
Right.
And it looks like they didn't get the money. The only thing I heard was Debbie Wasserman Schultz was going up there for a hot dog rally or something.
Well, I don't know that she did that. I do know that the Democratic National Committee sent out an email to their base, which was obviously millions of Americans, asking them to contribute.
No, that's one track. They asked for money. If Mark Brewer asked for $500,000 from the National Party, why not just give him the money, and then whatever discussion is, it should be about issues and not about $500,000?
It's a great question. I don't know. Obviously, Jesse, I'm not privy to those discussions. I don't know. There have been lots of controversy, and you probably know this better than most people. There's a lot of controversy as to whether or not the president should have gone to Wisconsin. Should he have gone? Should he not have gone? Et cetera. I think that that's a matter of personal opinion. I will say this. I was watching the Ed Schultz show on MSNBC the other night. And they had somebody on from a group called Working Wisconsin. And this and this woman said, this is our fight. This isn't the president's fight. It's the Wisconsin people's fight. Would it have helped to have him here? I can't answer that question. All I know is it was about what we needed to do. It was about the work that we had to put in. And if we don't put in the work, then we don't get the votes, then we don't get the result that we want. But we can't put this on the national party or the president. That's not his fight. It's not their fight. It's our fight. Don't have to agree with it, Jesse, but it's what she had to say.
Mm-hmm. Okay, man. But basically, I was just checking in as a delegate.
And I appreciate that.
I hope I'm the first one.
I appreciate that. Thank you, Jesse, as always. Appreciate hearing from you. And, yeah, we got a lot of great delegates out there. My only disappointment with the convention is they've shortened it. They've made it really much more compact, and so it's, I don't know. We're gonna have to make a decision whether or not we're gonna go, because it's very expensive to go, and then it's a lot to do in a very short period of time. And of course, the time of the morning we're on, we don't actually get access to the big names because they don't get up at 6 o'clock in the morning. So we got to think about that, and we will. We're going to make a decision whether or not to go to the convention here very, very soon. Again, feel free to join us, 888-552-3595. That's 888-552-3595. Tony at thetonyshow.org. Again, on Twitter, at Tony Trupiano. Of the many things that I have in front of me right now, one of them, We did talk about this in detail yesterday. The governor, or perhaps it was the day before, the governor looks like he's going to go around the legislature with regard to the new bridge, which is called, by the way, the New International Trade Crossing. Representative Rashida Tlaib is asking the governor to make sure that no matter what happens, that the Delray community in southwest Detroit is cared for. If he goes around the legislature, there's no guarantee for these folks. And I brought this up on the show, and I'm going to bring it up again and again and again and again. You've screwed with these people in southwest Detroit forever. I'm not just this legislature, the last three or four. Stop it. Take care of the people in the Delray community. They deserve that. They deserve that. So I want to thank Representative Tlaib for, as always, standing up for this deserving community. And they are deserving, no question about it. Let's go to the phones and welcome Larry to First Shift. Larry, pleasure to have you on the air this morning. What's on your mind, my friend?
Hey, how's it going? This is the first time I've called in, but I listen to you a lot. I was just calling about how people are, continually bashing the unions. Even union members, don't think that unions do too much. But, I'm formerly a communications worker, and I worked for AT&T. And, I had to leave my job because they basically phased it out and, made an excuse basically to get me out. But anyway, I'm kind of working a non-union job now, and I see, I was just watching a documentary the other day on, it was a Frontline, and they were talking about how when the 4G and 3G, rush came out, AT&T started building all these towers, and they got rid of most of their workers and, subcontracted it out to third-party contractors, and they were paying these guys $10 an hour to go up on those 100-foot towers, and people were dying from it.
Yeah.
And I just like people to understand that, we earn our money, and if we just say, okay, we're not going to regulate it and we're not you know, we don't need union jobs. You know, they'll, you know, big borrow, you know, cheat everybody, you know, just, drag us over the coals just to make a profit.
Yeah, Larry, you make such an important point that people don't understand that being in a union isn't just about money. And we, of course, have made this point before, but you bring up such a critical point here, the safety issue. People have no clue what goes in, and it's what happens, Larry, within the union structure that actually defines issues of safety, that actually shape law. And these are things that come from within the union. These are not things that come from outside the union. Do you think that the average company wants to protect their workers in the way Larry's talking about? Of course not. That's why they hire these third-party folks and put them up on the scaffolding or wherever they put them and put them in harm's way. So I appreciate the call, Larry, and I think you bring up an important point. Here is a guy that was forced out by the union, still strongly a union supporter because he understands the role that unions play. This isn't that the point, and I know I've made it repeatedly, and I'm going to continue to make it. This isn't about fiscal issues. Folks, that the sooner you get that through your head, the better off we would all be. And as I said a little earlier, Pat in her email, she said unions lift everybody up. It's just that those that aren't in the union don't want to recognize that it is because of what unions done, do, and will continue to do that makes all of society better. All of society benefits from organized labor. And you all know it. You just don't want to admit it. Your arrogance is overwhelming to me sometimes. It's overwhelming. It actually sickens me, to be honest with you. This idea that, again, you're okay, so everything's okay. You really need to let that go, folks. You really need to let that go. We need to start taking care of one another. We don't do a good job of that any longer. We just don't. I am far from perfect. I'm far from perfect. And certainly I've done things in my life that I'm not necessarily proud of, and I've done other things in my life that I'm extremely proud of. But I have always taken care of those that are closest to me, always, in any way that I can, sometimes to my own detriment. I have taken care of people in extraordinary ways to my own detriment. I have done that. But it isn't because, and it wasn't because I was a union guy, but it was that example. It was that example that helped propel me to the management style that I have, to the person that I have, to the politician that I was. Maybe not that great, but I was for a short period of time. As a communicator, you don't do what I do for 18, almost 20 years, unless at some point you actually connect with people. And I've done that. What's that, Jeff? Unemployment. Jeff just types a note. Unemployment insurance weekly claims down 12,000 from last week.
Just released by the United States Department of Labor.
No, and God knows they're a bunch of liars, aren't they? We'll just see if how the Republicans spin that. Actually, they don't spin that stuff. They ignore it, is what they do. All right, let's take a quick break here. We'll wrap it up on the other side. Feel free to call us, 888-552-3595. Unemployment insurance weekly claims down 12,000 from last week. We've got some announcements on the other side as well, including one of them that happens tonight. So you'll want to stay tuned for that. We'll be back. Stay with us.
First Shift with Tony Trivia.
Richard, good morning to you. How you doing today?
Great, Tony. Wow, wonderful show, man. Since you've been on, it's been a breath of fresh air, I got to tell you.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family. And UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671. Recently on First Shift.
Jeff, we're going to do a little mock phone call. You up for that?
Sure.
Actually, all you have to do is say, when I pretend like the phone's ringing and you're answering it, just say, hi, this is Senator Johnson's office. And Bert Johnson happens to be my state senator. So that's all I need for you to do. And I'll take it from there.
All right, I'll see if I got this line down.
Okay. Ring, ring. Apparently not.
You don't answer after the first one. You have to let it go twice.
Ring, ring.
Hi, Senator Johnson's office.
First Shift with Tony Trippiano on 1310 WDTW.
Why are you laughing? Are you going to call laughing?
No, I'm not.
All right.
All right. So we're ready.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trippiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trippiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trippiano on Twitter.
In a blue-collar, get-to-work-and-get-the-job-done kind of state like Michigan, there's only one show that cares about the men and women
who put in a hard day's work every day.
This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back, everybody. 10 minutes before the top of the hour. Before we wrap things up today, we got some announcements we're going to get to in just a minute. We do want to get some phone calls in, so join us, 888-552-3595. Gary in East Point joins us now. Gary, a pleasure to have you on the show this morning. What's on your mind, friend?
Tony, thanks a lot. You do a great service to the American people, Tony. Thanks a lot. But I want to call Tony to refute what that guy called a little while ago and said that we can't afford to pay these people pensions. And, Tony, what he's doing is spitting in the face of the American dream. I worked for a union 24 years. I'm retired. I'm living the American dream, Tony. I have a pension. I have Social Security. I can afford to do things. I'm putting my little boat in the water. I'm going golf on Friday. This is the American dream. You work, you get a pension, and you retire. And what I'm doing, Tony, too, is I'm adding to the economy because I have money to spend. All of us should. Every American should. This is the American dream, Tony. It's not a millionaire or billionaire. The American dream is working your life, having benefits, have a good pension, get Social Security, and be able to live your golden years doing something and contributing to a viable economy. This is the American dream. That jerk who calls it, we can't afford it because Republicans have sent thousands of jobs overseas, cut taxes for the multimillionaires and billionaires. Unbelievable. There's plenty of money, and we can't have an economy unless the money goes into people's pockets.
I'm not going to touch what you said because you said it beautifully. And Gary, this is the honest to God's truth. And I really do believe the vast majority of people believe this. And let me just say it.
It is, Tony.
The vast majority of people just want to be able to live their lives. They just want to be able to do that. Gary, what's wrong with that?
That's it. We don't need to be millions of billions. So if I went to anybody on the street, I says, I tap my shoulder, I says, here's my life. I worked for a union for years, Tony. They made sure we deferred our wages to pension. So I have a pension. I'd say to them, hey, how would you like to have this pension I have? My Social Security. And I was lucky I could retire at 60. I was lucky. So how would you like to have that? And there's not one person out there who would say no, Tony. Not one person. Why do they vote against their own best interests? We all can have that.
You got it, bro.
Let's tax the millionaires and billionaires, and let's bring the jobs back so we have a tax base. And I retired at 60, Tony, open up a job for somebody else.
Absolutely.
I just don't understand how simple it is.
Yeah, thank you. Gary, thank you so much for the call. This goes back to something Chris Mialakis, when he was educating us, when he was still with the UFCW, not that he doesn't still educate us because he does, but he said this exactly what he talked about. When people retire at a reasonable age, they can have a quality of life. They can live that American dream, and then they make room for someone else to have that job. God forbid. We wouldn't want everyone to be happy, would we? 888-552-3595. Jim in Garden City, you are on First Shift.
Good morning.
Good morning.
A little history lesson. In the 1800s, when power lines were being run across the country, nobody knew anything about safety and all that stuff. The kill rate was 50%. Then that forced formation of the Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. And when Canada started doing the same stuff, then we joined up, we became the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. And that's the people that started giving electricians safety lessons and cut the fatality rate down to zip.
Well, you know, Jim, thank you for your call, number one. Number two, for those of you that are not aware of this, the IBEW Local 58 is one of the finest local unions in metropolitan Detroit. And I want to, you know, I'm going to make this loud and clear, whether it's my friend Kevin Moore at the Teamsters, my friend Roger Robinson at the UFCW, my friend Bob King at the UAW, whether it's Joe Abdu at the IBEW, and I could go on and on and on and on and on. They care about their constituency, which is their membership. They care about social justice. They care about women and men. They care about the LGBT community. They care about everything that matters to 100% of us. 100%. Not 99%, 100%. But they also understand when and where to pick their fights. And they do it exceptionally well. Exceptionally well. You can throw numbers at me all you want, percentages, this how many people are in unions, how many used to be, how many are now, what's happening, future projections. Go ahead and do all that. Do all the math you want, folks. Do all the math you want. At the end of the day, what matters is what we accomplish. Organized labor is just getting warmed up. This evening, 6:30 to 9 o'clock at the Birmingham Unitarian Church, the Sierra Club is hosting their last program of the season. Live Raptors. What can we learn from Birds of Prey? Again, 6:30 to 9 o'clock at the Birmingham Unitarian Church at 38651 Woodward Avenue in Bloomfield Hills. You can go online to michigan.sierraclub.org/SEMG. Anyway, tonight is their last program of the year. They'll be back come September, and they always are. Lots of good stuff coming up. The Renew American Expo is this Saturday, June 9th from 10 to 6. I will be there probably earlier as opposed to later, but I will be there. And looking forward to that. That is the UFCW Hall at 876 Horace Brown Drive in Madison Heights. Again, lots of great stuff going on there. To get more information, just go online to miunionlabel.org, miunionlabel.org. By the way, just so happens, I'm on the mailing list at buyusaforever.com. If you haven't been there in a while, they got a lot of really good stuff. A lot of really good stuff. All right, Father's Fest 2012 this Sunday, the 10th of June, noon until 4 o'clock at Star JC Park in Royal Oak. $5 per family. Go check it out. Should be a lot of fun. Partnershipfordads.org. Partnershipfordads.org is the website that you will want to go check out to get more information. And that is going to pretty much clean it up for us today. We've had, I think, a very productive day. Lots of new callers, Jeff. Lots of first-time callers today. That's kind of cool.
Well, I was going to say lots of great calls. I mean, I already have, not to let the cat out of the bag, made one promo out of a caller, and I think we might just have had another one in this last segment.
Yeah, I'm impressed. I know the show continues to grow. It's obvious by the work that we're doing by the people that are reaching out to us. I'm just pleased. I do want to remind people very quickly that tomorrow, Monday and Tuesday, Anthony and I will be doing the Ed Schultz Show. And looking forward to that. Noon until 3 o'clock nationally. Again, we're looking forward to that. Tomorrow, I think we're going to go guest-free, just take callers. Monday and Tuesday, we'll start working on that today. But as always, I appreciate my big brother Eddie giving me a chance to sit in the big chair while he takes some deserved time off. He spent a lot of time in Wisconsin helping that effort. So I'll look forward to that. All right, that'll do it for us for today. Anthony and Jeff, thank you for everything that you do. Appreciate it as always. Folks, off the air, tony@thetonyshow.org. That's as long as my internet doesn't go down, and then I can actually respond and get email. I'll leave that alone for now. In the meantime, and as always, I ask that you be well.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
It is a busy commute right now. We're watching an accident is blocking your left lane on the Lodge northbound in the 10-mile Evergreen area, and that's causing heavy traffic from the Southfield Freeway. Also, we got stop-and-go traffic on 94 eastbound between Greenfield and the Michigan Avenue exit. Also, an accident is partially blocking on Harry Road, both directions just south of Richardson. And we got a report of a dead deer in the right lane on 75 northbound at the East Holly Road exit. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 80 degrees. Tonight, it's going to drop down to a low of 58. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and 84, and it's currently 58 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
If you missed today's first shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
This is Detroit's Progressive Talk.